Coming up next on All About Android, it's me, Jason Howell. We've got Wintwit Dow. We've got Ron Richards. We've got Florence Ion in studio. And let me tell you, it's a pretty big episode. We've been talking about this for years, doing an episode about the Android Hall of Fame. And not all of these devices made it into the Hall of Fame. I actually have a table filled with devices. We dive into it, and we have some important news about All About Android coming up next.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is All About Android, episode 635, recorded Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. Hall of Fame. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Decisions. Don't let complexity block your company's growth. Decisions' rules-driven process automation software allows you to manage a complex digital landscape. Build custom workflows, business rules software, modernize legacy systems, and improve customer experiences in Decisions' unified no-code platform. Visit decisions.com/twit to learn how automating anything can change everything. Hello and welcome to All About Android, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps. I'll put them on one hand. For the Android faithful, I'm Jason Howell.
And I am Ron Richards.
And I am Wintwit Dow.
Hi, I'm Florence Ion. I'm not working.
Flo's here, a special working. Guest.
Flo is our
special new name.
She's Florence like Ion. Flo is like an observer that's on the in front of the camera, not
Yeah. You know, Flo so. Was going to come and sit in the audience and observe, but instead, Flo, we talked her into it. It's like when you go to like a talk show and someone calls you up on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The woman with the red hair. You come up here. Yes. That's basically what happened.
She won. She got picked. Her seat in the audience got picked to come up and join us on stage.
So now that you're here, let's not talk about work. Let's talk about fun. Let's talk about
Android. I'm here as an Android fan.
There we go.
I'm here not as Florence the journalist, but as Florence the Android fan. And today I'm using the Galaxy Z Fold 4.
You know what? That's a phone that only Android journalists use.
You know what? You're right. I didn't pay 1 cent for this. Thank you, Samsung, for this loaner. I promise I will send it back when I'm done.
Just kidding. Plenty of people like the Z Fold.
Flo is here out of reverence and respect.
I am.
That is right.
Correct.
And we are happy to have you here.
Correct.
This is a very special episode. As you can see, spread out on the table is a whole host of Android technology.
You could even say it's almost like a history of the show on the table.
Yeah, in many ways it is. Yeah. I mean, it's not a comprehensive history of the show, but it certainly touches a lot of bases of different devices that we've talked about over the years.
Can we talk about them yet?
What's that?
Can we talk about them yet?
We will.
Okay.
Slow your roll,
I'm just thinking about that Chromecast.
Yeah, it's
done.
It's I know. It was weird when I pulled that out. I was like, actually, there's like totally current news about that. But we're not going to talk about that yet. We're going to share with you some information that's actually pretty important if you are a fan of this show. This is our last episode. This is the final episode of All About Android, and I'm going to admit that it's crazy that it's happened, but
wait a minute. Where's Victor with the sad trombone effect?
Oh, I thought you would get mad at me for that.
No, not at all. I would expect it.
Victor, today of all days, you could do whatever you want. It's free
pass. Exactly. Go for it.
Honestly, I want to see how quickly you can get to Ron. Yeah.
Would Taps be too sad?
Taps is a little too.
Oh no!
Oh, there we go.
That's nice.
I like that. That works. That works.
What's
the kazoo
happening?
Sure. That's applicable.
This is reverent.
Oh boy! Save the taps for the end.
There it is.
Save the taps for the end.
Okay.
Because I really feel like we need to clarify because the chat room's losing their heads right now.
Yeah, they're like, "What the heck is going on here?"
This is to quote a great, great man. This is the end. This is the end, my friends. Mm-hmm. This is the end. So.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's some sad animated GIFs happening in Discord. I will just fully admit I'm sad because this show has been a part of my life for 13-ish years. Mm-hmm. Same with you, Ron. You were here since day one, since the the beta episodes, along with Eileen Rivera, and it's transformed and it's changed over the years. We had Gina Trapani, of course. We have you, Florence Ion. When you were here as a journalist, not as you are now, just a fan. Wynn Twiddow, the most recent co-host on the show, and it's been awesome having you on, Wynn, to bring the developer knowledge, but also just to, because you're an awesome person.
I mean, friends because of the show.
Well, that's
with everybody we've had on this show because of the show, the space that we've had to socialize over this shared love of an ecosystem.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I think at the core of what has made this show so enjoyable, and we will have a thing at the end. We won't spend minutes talking about this right now because we've got some really great plans coming up. But I think what's really made this such an enjoyable show to do, and then I hope to watch and listen to, is the fact that we all share this passion around this thing called Android. And if you're listening, you care enough to listen to a show every single week that's about that thing. And we care enough about it that we want to talk about it every week. So
to echo you, for 13 years, this is every Tuesday for 13 years. This has been, a high point of the week to look forward to. And we're going to get all emotional at the end and stuff like that. But it's all been because of the audience and everybody listening who's into Android and into this as a ecosystem and as a line of technology and products, and it's a blast. And so I'm glad that everybody has been along for this ride, and we do the best show we can every week for you, and tonight's no exception.
That's always been our goal. Yep. So we do have a really great plan coming up after we take our first break. Before we get to our first break, though, to get just a little bit of current news in before we go into this blast from the past hardware
there's news
extravaganza. You just got a brand new device that I think everybody needs to hear about.
Let me just,
We'll get into the hardware section.
There's that hardware bumper one last time for Mr. Jeff Kosmicki.
So what'd you get, Wynn? What'd you got in your hands?
So my husband got his Pixel tablet today in the mail. So we've had this for maybe 4 hours.
Has anybody reviewed this, by the way? I said I have not been working for last 7 weeks.
Reviews embargo, I think, happened yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, it was recently. I saw a whole bunch hit my feed.
Okay. Yeah.
Mine is in transit. It's being delivered tomorrow. So,
it's too bad you didn't get it in time.
It's like typical all about Android
day
fashion.
Late,
I get it the day after the show. Yeah, exactly. But I've seen some reviews, but Wynn, I'm dying to hear what your initial first look thoughts are.
So. Yeah, so this is my husband's, and I love that this is my first and last hardware review-ish thing going on, but this is great. So we got this. It is a very sharp device. I think the first thing that I said to the crew when I got it is that, wow, I am so happily nonplussed by the bezels. The form factor is really nice. It does have that really really nice kind of touch.
Yeah, it feels nice, right? It's kind of a comfortable feeling device. Some devices are cold and edgy, and this one has a nice contour to it, and the texture is right, I thought.
Yeah, it's definitely an Android tablet. The bezels are no big deal. This is no big deal. I actually took some pictures of it. The bezels on this are smaller than the Nest Hub Max. And kind of like the whole footprint of this thing is slightly smaller than the Nest Hub Max. So if you are one of those folks, you have it. So we've had this for 4 hours. So I don't have too much to say about
it. All right, full comprehensive review, top to bottom, nuts to bolts.
Top to bottom.
Tell us everything in detail, tips, tricks. I want it all.
It's a tablet. In our experience, it's a pretty okay tablet. We are really huge on our Nest Hub Max, and so I think the thing that's really standing out to us right now is that we're not too thrilled about the transition from our Nest Hub Max to this. To be perfectly frank.
Oh, okay. And that's 4 hours. You've gleaned that.
4 hours.
That
and my
means
husband
that
was setting it up.
Obvious. Sticking point. So what is it that between the two that has you so immediately going, okay, this is not the same?
So we were really hoping for a hub that was more tablet-y rather than a tablet forward device that had some
tablet
features.
Tablet with a hub.
The
tablet that was a hub.
The tablet was a hub. We wanted a hub that was a tablet, not a tablet was a hub. And because it's like strictly, I think it's really mostly an Android tablet, that all was fine. Getting the hub mode set up was, I mean, not, it wasn't hard, but it's not like I expected. Like, even like getting into hub mode is kind of unclear to me. Like, for right now, all I can tell about hub mode is that it's the screensaver. Like, you
set up
the screensaver.
Okay, so I can help you with that.
Okay.
Before I stopped working.
Okay.
I learned some things, right? I was at okay. Google I.O. In the hub mode goes when the tablet is directly connected to the hub. So when those magnets touch, that's when it kicks into gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't our experience. That
really?
Experience. I'm not sure. Yeah. It only hubs when it's in screen. So that's the thing. I don't know what hub mode is right now. Cause when I do attach it, I get the sparkly screen, you know, flash that, oh, hey, this is charging. And it still stays on the tablet home screen. And then I wait for it to go into screensaver, and then it feels more
real life
hubby.
Use right there.
Yes. And so, I mean, my husband, the first thing he said was like, ooh, like, can I have a dock for every room? Because he really responded to that, the physicalness of like the snapping in. But after using it, he's like, I didn't want a tablet. I wanted a hub. And yeah, the hub mode, I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something we set up incorrectly. Maybe it's just us. But I'm only really seeing the hub mode as a screensaver. And there is a very distinct, you know, experience between hub mode and regular tablet mode.
Right.
For example, you know, even setting a timer, if it's not in hub mode, even if it's docked. So just be aware, we have not used this like freestanding. We've had this stuck on the hub. If like just a little thing, right? One of our favorite things to use the Nest Hub for is timers when we're cooking. Right. If it's not in hub mode, it just uses the regular Android timer. It doesn't use like the full screen, which I know is like not a big deal, but it's like a slightly different experience. And it's kind of like more in the periphery rather than, hey, like my big hub is showing it in big, large letters. So I don't know why, but we're having trouble getting it in hub mode. It just seems to be a screensaver. And another thing is like with the hub, like both of us could have our accounts active on it. The hub mode is my husband's mode. And
yeah,
we're running into issues where, you know, if it's not in hub mode, it refuses to. I mean, even though he has it set up to, hey, in hub mode, have anybody be able to say, hey, the key, you know, the magic phrase, it doesn't work for me if it's not in hub mode, which it tends to not be in hub mode. So we're having troubles. So it's a lovely device. It's got a smaller footprint. It's lovely. It's fun to hold. Yes, the physicality of the dock is lovely. Whatever reason, we're having troubles. And I mean, we're two Android devs. This is not our first rodeo, but
yeah, right.
We're a little disappointed. And again, this is because we were hoping for a hub that had some tablet features and not the other way around. So, I've almost made this thing crash two or three times because I'm an aggressive on button pusher, and don't push too hard on the top of this thing because it will shoot off the dock. It will shoot off the dock. I had to
really.
I'm like trying to figure out like what you mean, but when it's attached to the dock magnetically,
when it's attached to the dock,
and I'm pressing down too hard, it actually slid off.
The force of pressing that button is enough to break the magnetic seal of the.
Yeah, I just did it again. So like,
good.
Yeah. So
either that or you're really strong, and actually you are really strong. We know this about you.
Yeah, just a little with one. I'm going to drop this on the counter, and then my husband's going to have it. It doesn't take a lot of force to kind of.
Ah! Oh gosh!
It didn't hit the floor. Oh my god! I'm sorry. Watch me.
Grab it. I want to see what happened.
Luckily, it didn't hit my drink. I have a gin and tonic on the table.
Oh, god.
It just slid.
Okay, is it okay?
I did it on purpose. Okay. It's okay. That would have hurt if I hit the mic and talk. So don't press too hard. Don't press too hard.
Oh,
on your
boy.
Magnets.
I did not
do
that
they
on
work?
Purpose. I swear to God.
Oh, boy.
So don't press too. Oh, God, now I'm sweating.
The look on your face. I'm so sorry.
That was great.
Oh, my God. Luckily, I have a lot of space to the left of my desk. It missed my gin and tonic and just slid.
Oh, so happy that
definitely, Jason, you got to mark that down. Definitely gets in the best of.
what best of?
Wah, wah, wah. So
So maybe we're having trouble with hub mode, but if you're the kind of person who just wants it to work like a Nest Hub Max or whatever your previous, you know, countertop, you know, center would be, it's going to be different. I'm really annoyed that it doesn't let us have both accounts active, but maybe you can follow me and I'll do updates when we figure this stuff out. And I can see like we're getting all kinds of suggestions about what to do about the hub mode, but we're trying, y'all. It's not, something's not working.
Can we talk about this real quick? Because I feel like this is something we can all relate to. Yeah, I know. Like Wynn, I've also been looking for a new hub situation. Mm-hmm. Because guess what, y'all? They stopped updating the Lenovo smart displays.
Oh,
and I had that really nice 10-inch one that you could see from across the room. I had that in a common area of my house. That's what we use to set timers. You know, Mona, mm-hmm. we have to set a timer. Mm-hmm. Then you have to stop watching Spidey.
That only launched in 2019, right? Or 2018?
2018. Right. It only launched in 2018.
Still.
Right. So they stopped updating it. It just stopped working. It just stopped.
That's great.
The sound just didn't work anymore. Like I couldn't hear the assistant respond back to me, even though it would still take commands. So I decided to just retire it because who's going to fix it?
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Right. What can you fix?
Yeah.
Take it in.
And you don't have the time to like hack it anymore.
No, right? I don't have time to do that.
Exactly. I mean, you're not working, so. But
no. Yes, it's true. Only Tamagotchi. They're the only things that I'm keeping alive.
What I'm most excited about, because as you all know, I've been at war with my, you know, my Google Home Hub, Nest Hub, whatever I have in the kitchen. And I'm excited to get the Pixel tablet in the hub mode to see if I have the same results in hub mode as I have with the awful assistant not understanding. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where I cannot play music on the thing via voice command. I have to Chromecast from the YouTube app to play music on the thing.
You gotta go figure it out in your music app.
It has been so off with the things that I've asked it to play. It's just unbelievable. And just whatever. I'm, you know, good thing we're stopping the show because, man, I'm at my wit's end with YouTube music. So.
Well, I think it's all incredibly valid because I have been thinking, you know, I've had a lot of time to think. Mm. because we're on, I'm not going to watch seasons 9 and 10 of 90210.
Come on, Matt Turning.
It's really hard to get through the Gina episodes. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot just about how the Google Smart Home, like I've actually been taking stuff offline while I've been off work. I'm just like, I don't need this. Let's take this offline. I don't need this. I don't need to talk to this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I'm talking less to my Google Home, using it less and less. What is the indicator for me is that we have one in our kitchen and have for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It probably gets the most, has gotten the most use. But lately I go to when I do go to use it, I realize it's been unplugged and it's still unplugged. And there's other things plugged in there instead. So like,
there's
all right,
something else plugged in, and you're
something
like,
something else is plugged in its place. It's not getting much
that
use.
That has
these
to stay
days.
Plugged in. The thing that's plugged in.
Yeah,
I'm not going to unplug it.
Yeah.
So what does that say about these devices in our houses, though? It's a very different world than the one we were promised.
A whole new world. I was going to say when I'm looking forward to a more expansive review of the Pixel tablet, but if people want to know how you feel about your Pixel tablet, where should they go?
Yeah, just go to my website, reallytalking.com, or follow me on at Queen Code Monkey for now on Instagram. I'll figure something out. Okay. I might actually post a video review. But yeah, pay attention to that. I need to find a good YouTube channel because someone has randomly typing youtube.com/randomlytyping, but I don't know. Just
when you need to come to TikTok and be there with me.
I should.
TikTok has no game plan. You just get on there. Just the only thing you can't do is the millennial pause.
What is that?
The millennial pause is the first like few seconds of the video as it's starting. You're like waiting to make sure that the video has started recording. Uh-huh. So like sometimes when you get into a millennial TikTok, you'll notice that they wait for a second before they start talking. Uh-huh. You can't do that. Gen Z immediately jumps into it and they do it really fast. So you have to
Gen Z's
meet them.
Confident.
You have to meet them where their attention span is.
Okay.
So you can't be like,
that's important.
Hey
that's
guys, you have to be like, today I am doing my makeup with three fingers.
That's the only thing you need to do. Mm-hmm. You do that, you're guaranteed success on TikTok.
Love it.
That's it.
Okay.
Noted. Piece of cake.
Well, that, and you got to make sure not to use like certain bad words because TikTok is like really
Okay. Yeah. Well, so then maybe we'll find some TikTok Pixel tablet stuff coming up from Wynn. Maybe it'll be a collab between Wynn and not working.
Wynn, well. We could battle on TikTok.
We should. We could. We should. Duet?
Just beg people for money. Come on, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Just that's what battling
this
is.
This is what we've become. This is what it's.
Well, speaking of begging people for money, we've got some really great stuff planned for you coming up. This table looks like this for a reason, but I'm going to hold off for just a little bit longer before I tell you why. And I think when you hear why, you're going to be like, yes, finally. That's coming up next. Mm-hmm. But first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Decisions. In today's digital landscape, businesses are faced with an overwhelming number of tools and systems that are necessary to operate effectively, right? Managing all of these tools, ensuring they work seamlessly together, that can be really daunting. And this is where Decisions comes in. Decisions serves as the ultimate orchestrator for IT and industry experts, providing a unified platform for businesses to manage their digital infrastructure. By automating routine tasks, also customizing workflows, Decisions helps businesses reduce operational costs, improve customer service, and streamline their overall processes. In a constantly evolving digital landscape where innovations happen on the fringe, adaptability, I mean, it's crucial to staying ahead of the game. Using a powerful no-code platform, Decisions allows both developers and business users to build applications and automations without a single line of code. You have Decisions, that means you have a team that can collaborate to build and adjust workflows using dynamic forms, decision-making processes that fit your unique and ever-changing business needs. Decisions features a robust rules and workflow engine, as well as pre-built integrations that connect to any legacy system via API. All of it is controllable within a simple drag-and-drop visual interface designer. And just as one awesome example of how Decisions automation software can actually help, Knowledger actually manages portfolios and investment activity for family accounting offices and investment firms. And they faced a challenge in managing their complicated digital landscape. Decisions actually provided complete system integration, which allowed Knowledger to pull data from any database and communicate with every system and application in their process. This enabled a pain-free solution to manage their portfolios that streamlined their operations and improved their customer service to keep ahead in the financial industry. Automating the small decisions frees up valuable time for your team to focus on the bigger decisions that matter to your business. And with Decisions, you can customize workflows to automate routine tasks, reduce operational costs, all while better serving your customers. Managing a fragmented digital landscape is essential, of course, for businesses to remain competitive and successful, especially today. Decisions offers a powerful no-code solution, no-code, that unifies business practices and makes managing your digital landscape easier than ever before. Discover the power of Decisions today by claiming your free demo at decisions.com/twit. You can get a demo of that. In today's ever-changing digital landscape, managing the numerous tools and systems businesses need to operate can be a hurdle to growth and efficiency. Decisions no-code automation software simplifies the complexity of managing multiple systems, allowing businesses to unify their operations, reduce operational costs, and drive company growth. And you can learn more about all of this that I've just talked about Decisions no-code automation platform. And like I said, you can claim your free demo. Just visit decisions.com/twit. That is decisions.com/twit. We thank them for their support of All About Android. All right. Now, on this table, we have assembled some of the finest historical pieces from the world of Android over the past 13 years or so. Some of the other finest devices aren't here. This is not a comprehensive collection. But I will refer, Victor, to this clip in a previous episode, sometime in the last couple of, I wish I would have written down the episode number, where Ron was setting up the stage for something we have lovingly referred to in many years as the Android Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. And then what I think we do is I think we set a date like later this year for like the induct. Like we should make a program out of this. Have like this is going to be the Hall of Fame day when we're going to induct the. Yeah, exactly. Like we should really build something out of it. I think so.
Android deserves a Hall of Fame. Yeah, dang it!
It does.
It deserves pomp and circumstance. Oh yeah!
Was that pandemic,
there it is,
Jason?
Finally.
That was pandemic.
My dream.
With my pandemic facial hair. That was a year of my life, okay? The only year I ever grew out the hair on my face and probably the only year I ever will. Anyways.
My dream is becoming a reality, Jason. It just took ending the show.
All it took was the last episode for us to finally get our act together and put together something resembling a All About Android hardware and apps Hall of Fame. I figured we'd leave news out of it, like news Hall of Fame. That sounded more like snore, snooze, whatever. But
so when we talk about the Hall of Fame, this is the criteria, not to revisit the clip that you just said, but this is like my vision for the Android Hall of Fame has always been hardware that meets at least one of these criteria, which was either a game changer in the way we thought about hardware, right? Like introduced a new approach or new concept or new like kind of aspect to it that, you know, kind of impacted. Or something that became so ubiquitous through either sales and user adoption that it became synonymous with the Android experience. I mean, do we agree those are two good kind of criteria for it?
Yeah. Like I put it in here as like a marker or a momentum changer could qualify. Something that's really memorable from a functionality, an industrial design, a usability standpoint, but not just like, oh yeah, that was a nice phone. Something that really
it's to have an impact.
Part of the conversation. Yeah. Like, oh man.
And the list that Jason primarily put together, and we all kind of, you know, we jammed on this a little bit. There's some in here that I suggested as well. I think as we go through these, it's going to be, oh, I popped out of focus. As we go through these, it'll be kind of clear as to what that, you know, that criteria is for that phone. Like it's the same approach I have with baseball, like baseball Hall of Fame. It should be a no brainer. Right? Like, you're like, oh, that guy, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand why that's
here. It's like pornography. When you see it, you know it. So.
Happy you went there.
That's not what people are saying about that show on HBO, but that's
the story. Oh, the one with the weekend? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, yeah. I should say that the list that I have here, when we were working on this and I was assembling it, I was doing so under the assumption that not all of these would automatically be Hall of Fame worthy, but that they were worth considering and that we together could anoint. And it doesn't have to be isolated to this list. Maybe at the end, if I miss something, you know, definitely let us know and we can figure out. But I think we got to start with the T-Mobile G1, right? I actually put these in order of when they came out, if that keeps things a little easier. But the T-Mobile G1, you know, when we're talking about like a game changer, a momentum changer, a marker of Android, this was, I mean, Time Magazine considered this the gadget of the year in 2008, you know, best invention one of the best inventions of 2008. It was a big deal.
I mean, we certainly wouldn't be here without this phone. I remember the day I had drinks with someone across the street from the T-Mobile store in San Francisco on Market Street. I was at a bar across the street and I had drinks with somebody who worked in tech and he had gotten it and showed it to me. And I literally put my drink down and walked across the street and bought it at T-Mobile.
Wow.
From that day. Like,
decisiveness.
I will never forget it. But yeah.
I do have it here. Do we have the overhead shot? I don't know if it's... Oh, it's all the way. All the way over there.
It's so small
here
in your
hand.
Isn't it
tiny? Phones are a lot bigger nowadays.
Yeah, they sure are.
This phone.
So this phone was becoming kind of like the replacement for the Sidekick.
Yep.
At the time that it was released. I remember people, they wanted
Sidekick
it because...
Sidekick was a big deal around this
time. Yeah, it was the only other phone that had AOL Instant Messenger. I don't think the iPhone had AOL yet.
They did not.
They didn't have apps yet, and this one did.
Oh, that's so funny, AOL.
People were upgrading to this one because it gave you AIM, AOL Instant Messenger.
No, what's so funny is that, like, literally this past weekend, I watched the BlackBerry movie.
Yeah, I saw your review. So good.
Yeah, And it's very funny because a big part of it is that obviously you see the ascent of BlackBerry, and then the big moment is the when the iPhone is released and the product
and the value movie ends.
Pretty much. There other stuff it happens. It's worth watching. Yeah. But the product guy who invented the BlackBerry is flipping out, saying that the iPhone isn't going to do well because people love the keyboard. They love the click. The physicalness of the keyboard. And it was funny because Android really bridged. And as I was thinking about it, I was reflecting on our life in Android. The G1 and the early Android phones really bridged the gap, the world was somewhat, kind of candy bar phones and BlackBerries and Trios and things like that, right? Like with the physical keyboards. And then the iPhone comes along and was just a huge, neck snapping, whiplash kind of like drop the physical keyboard. Everything's on the screen, which people struggled with.
Yeah.
Like I remember when the iPhone came out, people were having a hard time with the keyboard,
yeah,
and haptics and stuff like that. And with the G1 and with Android and those early Android phones, they brought people over more gently to the vision of the iPhone, right? Of the keyboardless phone. Because you had several years of phones with physical keyboards.
Oh, that is so funny you mentioned it, because we actually did see a BlackBerry ourselves, and I was probably one of the only people. So not to spoil too much because it's history, but the movie kind of ends as maybe Research of Motion's dominance ended with the BlackBerry Storm, and I actually had a BlackBerry Storm
even got in there. Yeah. That's impressive.
That's kind of, Ron, what you're talking about is what I wanted, is that, okay, I kind of knew that, there's a sense that something new is coming, but there was kind of like, can I have a middle ground? I mean? I didn't want an iPhone for a lot of reasons. And my husband did have he was on the G1. He's been a Android, enthusiast, faithful. One of the Android faithful since like beta. Thank you. And so I was kind of like the person that was trying to be, was kind of having a hard time bridging that gap, or just coming across the bridge rather. And so my compromise was to get the BlackBerry Storm because it had that kind of tactile weird screen. Obviously it didn't quite work out. I never returned it, but it was really funny because I think if anything, that whetted my appetite for the next one. Does that make sense? Is okay to segue? Yeah. Good segue, because then that made me figure, okay, let me get the Motorola Droid, and that was my first Android phone.
On Verizon.
And I was on Verizon, because Verizon. Then I was sold.
Yeah, Verizon took a while to get the first Android phone.
Yeah.
Yep. Verizon did not have the iPhone at the time, and really wanted it. And it didn't have it. And what it had was the Motorola Droid. And so they put all of their marketing muscle and might behind the Motorola Droid. And so but before we get to the Motorola
Droid. Before we do, yes, G1, we need to vote.
Yeah, what is the vote? Do we agree Hall of Fame worthy?
Of course, it started everything.
Hundo P.
It's in.
100%.
Yeah. I think it has to be there. All right. So then we've got the Motorola Droid. Where is that? Oh, okay. So by the way, this is my Motorola Droid. And I will say,
it was your personal one.
I remember that phone, Jason. I remember
this.
It. Yep.
This right so here good. Was my first Android device ever.
Well loved.
Yeah. I mean, wonderful. It looks like it. It's look all beat it. Up.
The trackpad. I forgot about the trackpad.
I can't even unlock it. I can't unlock it. It for whatever reason will not work. It's probably running some sort of, a ROM of some sort that's preventing me from doing anything.
Yeah, you love those ROMs, Jason.
I did with this device in particular. Now,
We should add that. Sorry.
the battery on this thing is absolutely atrocious. I had it plugged in all afternoon, and it got up to 60%, and then I unplugged it, and like 10, 15 minutes later, it said 20%. So it's destroyed. But anyways.
It didn't explode. The battery hasn't exploded yet.
That's true. But what could you do with the battery on this thing?
You could take it out.
You could pop it out, have a backup battery in your bag, which I have.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
You really want
to. I'm fine to just kind of be with this thing the way it is. It's cool. Yep. But I mean, fugly phone. This is not a pretty device by any stretch, but Verizon made it happen.
The best thing Verizon did was licensing Star Wars and making an R2-D2 version because that... they leveraged the Droid, which I'm shocked that they, especially after having worked with Lucasfilm and Disney and all this sort of stuff, I'm shocked that deal happened. And that was like the best thing I think it ever did for their marketing was connected to the concept of a droid and R2, and that classic white one with the R2 on the back, like the R2 design on the back. I knew so many people ran out and got that just purely for that. So,
yeah. The reason that I nominate the Motorola Droid is simply because when it comes to, at least here in the US, when it comes to the public knowledge that there was an alternative to iPhone that was worthy of considering, like G1 was first on the market, right? But the Motorola Droid was the one that people that didn't want the iPhone or that didn't have an iPhone yet but wanted a smartphone that did iPhone-y things. But the Droid was the one where they would go, oh, well, actually.
I'll push back that on Jason because the iPhone was out on AT&T Singular, if you remember, which I forgot Singular was a thing until the BlackBerry movie, and then they mentioned it. And I switched from Verizon to T-Mobile to get the G1, but T-Mobile was very small compared to what it is now at this time.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
And Verizon was really the more dominant carrier. It was Verizon and AT&T. Yeah. And like we said, by having Verizon adopt the Droid and it being the alternative to the iPhone, like that's really what gave, like if the G1 was on Verizon, it would be way more ubiquitous, but it was the 100% Motorola Droid that did it. Yeah.
No, I don't doubt that at all. The Droid in and of itself is, I mean, I guess it was cutting edge at the time.
It was not the only Android phone on Verizon at the time.
Well, that's true.
What else was there?
It was also the HTC Incredible.
Right. Well, that was your first, right?
That was my first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because this one was very uncomfortable with the keys for my nails.
It's got comfort issues.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts when you use it. The edges are a little harsh.
Well, and it was supposed to harken back to the texting phones that were very popular at that time that had full QWERTY keyboards.
Yeah.
Flo, you loved the Sidekick, if I remember correctly.
I did not have the Sidekick, no, because I wasn't on T-Mobile. I was on Verizon. No,
didn't you have one with a keyboard? I feel like we've talked about this.
I had an LG, like NV2 or 3 or whatever.
I don't doubt at all what you said, Ron. If it had been a different phone that Verizon had put its muscle and its marketing behind, that one might have been the big phone to do it. But they did this one, and whether it deserved it or not, it got a lot of attention for Android. It went far in kind of awakening a lot of American potential users to Android, and it also kind of solidified the Android is different than what you get on an iPhone. An iPhone is certain things, but over here it does all these weird, like geeky, you know, kind of edgy. It had like an edge to it that appealed to some people. So that's why I vote for the Motorola Droid.
That feels like a really good segue into the next one, which was really the one that became what people chose over the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we move on, though, we got to vote.
So vote on the Droid Hall of Fame, yay or nay?
Yes, obviously.
Oh, yay.
All right, I'll go along. I'll go along with that. I'm hesitant, but I'll go along with it.
Victor was raising his hand, too.
Yeah, that was
Victor,
my first.
I was going to say, you probably had one.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and I know that we talked about this in the past, when we were talking about Hall of Fame devices, it's hard because it becomes like an affinity that's based on our own like experience with them.
Personal.
Sometimes it becomes personal. It's like you never had the Motorola Droid, so it didn't mean as much to you, right?
Meant nothing to you.
See?
You know what's really funny from a developer perspective is that, you know, I think one of the things that I think we very early on as Android devs hung our hat on is that Android is meant to be for all kinds of form factors. So you had all these different phones, and from a technical perspective, that's a lot harder to develop for.
Yeah.
And what is kind of hitting me is that, you know, when I started developing and then eventually ended up being kind of more senior and being able to mentor like younger Android devs, I would always be like, look, y'all, you have to test your phones in landscape mode, which these days is actually not... We barely test in landscape mode anymore, but it's because our very first couple of phones were those slide out keyboard phones where people are using them in landscape all the time. And it's so funny because that became for years is just like how you do Android well is that you have to test in all the different, you know, all the different like configurations and configuration changes. And it's so funny because it's so different now, but it is really funny how the form, informed the practice in those early days. And I kind of miss those days where we were a lot more careful, but ROI, as I always say, and we'll continue to say until the end of this episode. ROI.
ROI, return on investment?
I'm return on investment on dev time. It's
there we go.
It will got be it. Even after today.
Okay, understand.
Imagine me saying it in your sleep. ROI is important.
ROI. ROI on the Galaxy S2 was pretty big, right? So yeah. Galaxy S1, notably, not in here. My initial thought was Galaxy S3 because I saw that as like the...
Was it just the one?
Probably. I don't even remember. That's the thing. It's not notable.
The Galaxy S. Thank you.
The Galaxy S. That's what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, that was not a very good phone.
No.
I remember the S3 being a big deal.
Yes.
But we had Ryan Hager on one of our episodes where we had an email about Hall of Fame. And do you remember, Ron, because you were the only other one on that episode, where we mentioned the S3, or there was an emailer that mentioned the S3, and he was like, I would argue it's the S2, because the S2 was the one that got the carriers really on board and really kind of solidified Samsung's focus, its direction with its phones. And, you know, love them or hate them, over the years, Samsung has been a force for Android and has been a big reason why Android is in so many people's pockets,
at least here
in the US. I think we need to hear from the former president of the Samsung fan club.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if it's former anymore.
Oh.
Wow.
Did you just fire up the fan club again?
You know, let me tell you.
The proverbial fan club.
I have not been super happy with my Pixel 7.
I have not been super happy with it.
Okay. Even photography-wise, I'm going to tell you. The Galaxy S23 Ultra, they really made it a lot better than the S22. And like, I already said that during my review process, but like, just today I went out of my way to take a walk. So, you know, I haven't been working. So I've been sneaking behind people's houses to see where I can find the best view in town. So.
The best view of what?
Of the bay.
Oh,
from
the
where
bay.
We live. The best view of the bay. Any view. I'm checking everybody's view
Got
in town.
Got it. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I've been going behind houses, like, cause you could go where the goats go and like do their thing. Uh-huh. Anyway, today I specifically took the S23 Ultra with me just so that I could take a picture of the Carquinez Bridge from this very lovely backyard
vantage point. Right.
Yes. I was only able to do, I was thinking to myself, I was like, of course I can do it with this one, cause this has all that zoom, but also the camera's a lot better. You know, and the battery.
So you are one over, once again, it sounds like, on Samsung.
I just want to also add, from the foldable perspective, they've actually been, like, now as a current Android player, they're actually following all the rules and trying to, like, make things happen for this form factor.
They're doing a lot right now that I think in the early days... There were certain aspects of Samsung that either you loved or you absolutely
hated. But here's the other thing. Okay, hold on. Here's my real point is what I really should have gotten to, which is that when anybody talks about Android versus iOS, it's never Pixel versus iPhone. It's Samsung versus iPhone.
It's Samsung.
iPhone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people are fans of Samsung. They're not fans of Android like we are. We're an anomaly.
Mm-hmm. Understand. No question. Do you think the S2 is the reason why?
I believe that it started a trajectory. I remember back then there were people like, I don't need the iPhone. I have the S2. And some people held on to that for a long time until eventually it just died.
But it had TouchWiz.
For whatever reason.
And what is TouchWiz now? One UI.
It's actually a little bit better.
It's much better.
And Am I crazy for remembering or misremembering, but was Eileen was pro Samsung, wasn't she? Did she have a Samsung?
No, you're not misremembering. She had I don't remember if it was an S2 or an S3, but I feel like it was one of those.
Yep. And I don't know why, and it's continued on 12 years later, but I've just been irrationally against Samsung for some reason. I have no idea why.
I have no idea why either, considering they are like the number two earner for the entire country of South Korea, first of all.
Well,
so I mean,
I've so much invested in the GDP of South Korea.
I just mean to say they are a literal powerhouse.
Oh, sure. No, and I have a Samsung oven, you know, like, I don't know. But for some reason, the phones have always, like, the TouchWiz and the like, the need to make the Samsung ecosystem has always been an obstacle for me. I've never wanted to jump in that way. Like, I definitely saw Jason, when we talk about, you know, looking at the history of the last 13 years, one topic that we talked a lot about was fragmentation. Right? And I felt I was very, obviously being a G1 user and very pro Google, you know, continued on. You know, now 13 years later with my Pixel, I wanted one Android, and I felt like very early on Samsung was already bifurcating Android into its own thing, and that never sat well with me.
Well, then it got in trouble, and then Google started reining everything in, and now it's such a good player.
Oh, they're in cahoots now.
To an extent, right?
Cahootsy.
Because Samsung still needs Android, right?
Cahootsish.
To sell as many units as it does. It's nothing without that Android operating system.
Yep.
Which is tended to by Google.
All right. So then, we place votes.
Of course it's in the Hall of Fame. It not only started Android, it started fragmentation.
Oh, right, we can hang a tab on fragmentation. Yes. I'm in.
It did good and bad.
You said the F word.
All right. Whether you like it or not, the S2 was an important device for Android and for Samsung.
Yes.
Speaking of Samsung, we have the Note. The first of the Note series happened the same year, actually.
This is the easiest one. This is a fast yes. This is started the phablet as a product spot in the world. It led to tablets. And Jason, from a little All About Android history, this led to Android in the wild because desperately wanted people to tell us if they saw a Note in the wild because how many jokes about taking out this enormous phone on the subway whatever.
It was everything. The press was very negative towards it. ZDNet said you'll look faintly ridiculous making a call with the Galaxy Note. Android Central said it was more of a technical showcase than a product with mass appeal. Slash Gear said it was simply too much to pocket for the average user. It was a 5.3-inch display, which, you hear that now,
sounds
like a small, smallish
phone.
Sweet
summer children. Oh my god!
But I should pull out the Nexus One just as a in my hand example of what phones of the time period looked like. Like they were tiny.
Oh, I love my little Nexus One. I love the Nexus One with this cute little trackball.
Yes, this was a normal size device.
Yeah, I love that phone.
You know, and then is the 6P. Which, by the way, I couldn't remember the unlock code, and so it factory reset. And I can't even
look at that phone.
Anyways, the 6P is much larger, probably larger than the Note that we're talking about. But yeah, so interesting. I think the Galaxy Note is a no-brainer. It was Samsung going out on a limb on something new, which, as they've proved over the years, they do, and they do pretty successfully. And even when mocked in the beginning, they still proved that they were ahead of the curve on this trend.
Yep. Agreed.
So that sounds like an
easily.
Sounds like an easy winner.
Haven't popped out the S Pen since I got my Ultra Review unit, but you know.
But you know what? You don't have to.
I don't.
If you want to, it's there, but you don't have to.
You don't.
No one's telling you got to, just because it's there.
I'm so excited for the next one.
Yes. All right. Next one. 2011, big year for Samsung. 2012, 2013, that's the era that we're getting into right now. Big for Google. The Nexus 7, the first version of the Nexus 7, which I have over here, and I could... Hold on one second.
It's that cracked one.
Yeah, it's the cracked one.
I love the Nexus white back. 7.
Miss
the
it white so back. Much.
So...
It felt so good.
I can't turn it on because it doesn't charge. If you see the crack on the screen, it could have something to do with it. But so this was the Nexus 7. This is the 7-inch tablet. The tablet that passed Ron's back pocket test.
What started the back pocket test?
Started the back. Yes. If a tablet can't fit in Ron's back pocket, then it's just not a tablet for Ron. No. Although I don't know if your current tablet can actually fit in your back pocket.
It cannot. It is much bigger than my.
When it arrives.
It is much bigger than my back pocket. The phones, the tablets have gotten bigger. But the seven was so great because what was great was that it had such awesome single hand feel.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could, it was great. Hold that tablet, like how you're holding it, Jason. You could hold that tablet in one hand and like, it, for the first time, it felt like an Android tablet could compete with a Kindle. That's what was really important.
Yes, it was totally a Kindle competitor.
Yeah. So, by the way, I'm trying to like frame it perfectly.
I love
here.
This thing so much.
So this is so on my left is Flow Z Fold 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Z Fold 4, the Nexus 7. Mm-hmm. Gosh, when you put them side by side, they're really not much different in size.
Yep.
Obviously, the Z Fold is a little like wider.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just extends a little bit, but it makes up for.
But Ron was saying thumb tablet that you can thumb at. That's why the foldables are doing so well because,
although I have to say, the single hand experience on the Nexus 7, definitely better than the single hand experience on the Z Fold 4.
Mm.
I still, with those foldables, they're wide enough that I feel like I'm going to drop it. And on an $1,800 device, I don't like that feeling.
Like carrying a Bible.
Yeah. That's true. Nexus 7 2012. This was the first of two that Google did. Actually, I have the other one.
Yeah. Bring the that was the one that I bought, the second gen,
which is not broken, but still also could not hold
the charge.
Backside
was black.
That's right.
Oh, they had the orange one too, though.
Oh yeah, they did. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Still rocking the USB
micro
USB. Yeah, ports. So we're not in the USB-C era quite yet. But I would say the initial is the Hall of Fame worthy one, the Nexus 7 2012. It was a part of a slew of devices. What other devices did they announce that year? I mean, that was a big year.
Was that the Nexus 4 year?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, right?
Yes.
Nexus 4 came out on November 13, 2012. Yeah.
Okay. So you have the Nexus 4, you have the tablet. Was that the Nexus Q year?
Nexus Q is
2012. So that was
IO.
It. Yes. So it was the Nexus 7, it was the Nexus 4, and it was the Nexus Q. I do have the Q over there.
Here we go. No. Hang on. I got it. Okay. So Google, turn about the clock and memories. Google was expected to launch the Nexus 4 at a press event in New York City. However, the event was canceled due to Hurricane Sandy.
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
And the Nexus 4, along with Android 4.2, the Nexus 10 tablet, and the Nexus 7 with cellular network support was unveiled by Google via a press release on October 29, 2012.
Wow, we thought that was so weird. Yeah.
Do you remember the press release announcement?
Yeah. So this is the Nexus 10. There we go. Got the Nexus 10. You can see, and again, it would not hold a charge. I could not charge it, but you can see the display is separating.
This is what happened. The Nexus 7 came out at I/O in the spring, and then the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 10 and the cellular version of the Nexus 7 came out that fall.
Nexus 4, so, I know, got it around here somewhere. Yeah.
So the Nexus.
Look at the back. It's the 4.
There we go. There's the 4. See, and you know the Nexus, 4 because it's all sparkly. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a cool effect. I always loved that effect.
I remember this. Yeah, that was cool. So the Nexus 7 was revealed on June 27th at Google I/O. Along with Android version 4.1, Jelly Bean, Hugo Barra.
That was such a year. What a year.
And that, the white edition of the Nexus 7 was given to Google I/O attendees. I remember that. Along with the Galaxy Nexus with Jelly Bean pre-installed, the Nexus Q and the Chromebox.
Remember the Chromebox.
Yeah. Wait a minute, the Chromebox. Yeah. Why am I blanking on the Chromebox?
That was the desktop. Yeah, desktop.
Wow, I totally forgot about that thing.
Yeah. Because PCs were doing it at that time, so they were trying really hard to like.
That's right.
You know,
man, the Chromebox. Yeah, I forgot. All right, I don't even think we have to ask the question on the Nexus 7. That was a monumental device, right?
It was the last great Android tablet. That's it.
Boom. Swish. Nothing but net. Okay. All right. I feel like I get it. Yeah, whatever. I'll just.
Oh, well, this one.
No, don't do that. You have to take care of them. Now you have the archive of stuff.
They got to go home.
For audio listeners, Jason is knocking over things on the table.
He's just shoving stuff back.
I'm spoiled with technology here.
I'm going to handle the intro for this next device because the next device. This next device is the device that established the All About Android Hall of Fame because it is the greatest single Android phone, in my opinion, ever in existence, the Nexus 5
a lot of people
from 2013.
A lot of people would agree.
I would agree.
Also came in,
right? I would agree.
It was the great rubberized back, like this tacky kind of, but not too tacky, but like you got a good grip on it.
Won't slip.
I'll put an asterisk on that, but I'll answer it in a second.
I had like four of these phones. I just kept them.
You kept getting them. I remember that.
Yeah, I know.
So yes, it has the tacky, quality. But what I've come to learn over the years is this tacky quality is great when you first get the device, and over time it gets sticky and it starts to kind of peel away. It's like, it's weird. You almost have to, at a certain point, that like a lot of audio gear has done this in recent years. Mm-hmm. And it gets, it just gets gross, and you end up having to totally remove it with alcohol. Yep. This phone is actually starting to feel a little sticky. It's not quite peeling off yet, but so at least there's that. But when it was new, it felt really nice.
I found my last one in a box recently, and it was like, it was gross to touch, like exactly that had happened. But at the time, this phone was great. It was like cutting edge of what was going on with Android at the time. It just felt like an advancement in terms of like the circular camera on the back, and just like, it just did so much right. Oh, hey, look at that. It works.
Oh, hey, I forgot. So, I got a charge on this one.
Okay. Hey, hello.
Oh, look at that old version.
User interface. Hello, super SU, because this is rooted.
Oh.
So this is
doing some hackery.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. This is definitely
late mode.
There's no
remember when there wasn't a dark mode?
See, I'm not signed in.
Yes.
So there's my notifications. We have a little quick settings pane. Oh, sorry, had the glare. There we go. There we go.
Hollow design.
You know, this is still what the Peloton settings look like. It still has the hollow design. The Peloton is built on Android.
I love that with Android tablets in the wild, like Pelotons, and then the Lululemon mirror.
The mirror.
Yeah. They all are still on hollow, and it's very nostalgic and lovely.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Oh my God, that's a great
one. Well, it was the Flappy Bird.
Bird, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember Flappy Bird? Remember that?
The hidden Flappy Bird game inside
that's amazing.
The.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go, inside the next.
Yeah, you can play Flappy Bird at a Dave and Buster's now.
Yeah, I know.
For tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, I did have the red one of these, and I coveted it so bad, and then I left it in a cab in New York City, and I was absolutely devastated. I think I couldn't afford to buy a new one.
That stinks.
It's got to be a collector's item. 600 outright, It's
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot.
There were only 600? Is that what you said?
They were $600,
they were $600. I was like, there were only 600 of those?
No.
Wow.
This is a very popular phone.
Okay, so again, Nexus 5, there's no question. That gets in there for sure.
Yep.
It deserves to be there. The Chromecast dongle is something to consider.
Heck yes. Oh, my gosh.
This was also 2013, so 2013 was another
game changer.
Google was kind of on a roll at this time when it came to hardware. They were doing hardware, but they weren't like saying like this is our hardware necessarily, not in the way that they are now that they have a hardware division. Because you remember all the Nexus devices, they weren't Google devices. Like the Nexus 5 was an LG device in collaboration with LG. I think Google actually did do the Chrome. They actually did do the Nexus Q the year before. So there were certain hardware efforts that they were willing to kind of put entire company muscle behind.
They were flirting with hardware at this point.
Yeah, they were trying. They were exploring it. But under the guise of like Nexus, like this is made for developers to test their stuff.
Well,
this
is different. This came out after Android TV had been like rebranded two or three times already.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And then they released this, and we were like, "What is this?" Which introduced,
because I had an Android, a Google TV or Android TV set top box. Do you remember I had that white box with the DVD player and like stuff like that? And like this was the future. And then the next release was this little dongle, which is like so far opposite of that, right?
Yeah, my husband did the same thing. Run. He bought all the set top boxes. They all ended up in the back of the closet at some point. And then this wonderful $35 device comes out. And it's like he's thankful, but also kind of cursing in his head a little bit. Like, why do I spend so much money on those set-top boxes? And then we bought like 15,000 like Google Chromes for like, or Chromecast rather, for any situation. Like we go over to visit our family
every house gets a Chromecast.
We're traveling. We're staying in an Airbnb. Bring the Chromecast. Yes. You know, you can always watch your own stuff.
For $35,
it enabled you. Like, I mean, this Plus Chromecast as an app, like, really, it talk about a game changer. It just made it that you could turn any TV into powered by your phone, which is just so, which is awesome.
Didn't need a remote.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm looking on the table and I'm seeing over here. The Nexus Player, which was the next year. This was 2014.
Yes.
But this was Google trying to do, like...
I completely forgot about that one.
Yeah,
I forgot
about that, too. Of course. Yeah. Of course. It didn't really last very long. Prior to that, actually, I have... This is the ADT one, which I think came out the same year as Chromecast, possibly. This was
the
like...
ADT. Oh, that was the reference model.
Oh, how cute.
This was the reference
model. I remember
that. Yeah. And so I think this came out... same time as this, as like a standalone set-top reference model for developers. That ultimately, if my memory is correct, led to the Nexus Player, which didn't really make much of a dent of anything.
No. The puck.
But anyways, the Chromecast dongle, you can't argue with this tiny little inexpensive, but just as powerful as you actually really need to do what it's designed to do.
Well, back then.
Back then. It was perfect.
It definitely started slowing or showing its age once they kept introducing new models.
I have to say, this is a pretty relevant device to now because it was just a couple of weeks ago that they ended support for this thing. This thing lasted 10 years.
To an extent, right.
I mean, yes, right.
To an extent.
Before the end of official support. I don't know how well it lasted for 10 years, but... Google only recently ended support for it.
What are we going to do with this stuff?
Dude, tell me about it.
Like, I don't know what to do with all this stuff. I'm, you know.
Yeah, I'm obviously drowning in stuff, and I don't know what to do with it.
They're good at turning your TV into a picture frame.
That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay, so Chromecast dongle, what do we think? Is it?
Oh, Hundo P.
Hell yeah.
I have a feeling these are all just going to make it. And that's totally okay because we put them in here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one I added. I wasn't sure how everybody was going to feel about it, but the Moto X 2013, same year. This was Motorola. I only put this in here because I remember being so like... entranced by this idea of customizing the device top to bottom. Motomaker
was in Texas, American made.
It was American made. That's right. Mm. There was the story behind it was cool. And then the experience of ordering it was just so neat. It was like, wait a minute, I can write something on it. I can choose my own like unique color combinations. And you weren't seeing that. You were seeing a lot of black devices. And then along comes the Moto X and it's like, no, what do you want your device to look like? Make it.
I was on the fence with this until I went back and reread it and forgot that it was $199.
Oh, that's right. It was
a relatively cheap phone, yeah.
So it really started the low range phone, you know, like,
dang,
like the
mid range. Incredible that cost.
The mid range didn't exist at this point. It was all flagships, and like flagships hadn't gotten crazy yet at that point either, too. Like phones were $599 or whatever, like we were talking earlier. But this was super affordable and started the low end or mid range as a product unit. So like while I was like, on Moto X, I think I'm a yes.
No, I don't really think it started it. I don't know.
I guess it bolstered it.
It didn't bolster it. Let's not forget the Moto X was not a good phone. I reviewed it and it was not a good phone.
I disagree. We had one.
The camera was really bad.
The features, the software features that Motorola included,
but the camera was atrocious.
Awesome.
It was so bad.
But Flo, most cameras were atrocious.
No, but you still got something better in a Samsung than you did in this Moto X.
I'm sure you did. This was also a $200 device. Right.
Was it $200? Because I could have sworn paying more for mine when I bought it.
I don't know. That sounds low to me. I can't remember how much it was. According to the
article that we referenced in the doc here, it says from The Verge.
And that was the review.
It says when it becomes available on all four carriers for roughly $199 with a 2-year contract.
$199 with a 2-year contract. But how much was it outright?
Sure. Yeah. Unlocked or whatever.
Unlocked costs.
So it was not $200. It was $200 subsidized.
If you're, but you know, sometimes that's just how phones were sold though. Again,
that's like, how phones were sold.
This is a different time.
Let's keep in, so keep in mind, like I'm looking right now at alfer.com, best cheap mobile phones for 2013. And we're talking like the Nokia Lumia 520 running that, remember those, like those Windows panels, phones, right?
Yes.
Yep. And the Samsung Galaxy S3 Mini. And the HTC Windows phone. So, like, in terms of affordability, it really wasn't, you know, like the Galaxy S3 Mini was the only one out there. Remember the S3 Mini, by the way, 480 by 800 resolution on the screen?
Okay, so, I just brought up my order confirmation for my Moto X, customized Moto X.
Yes,
and I paid for it outright.
Go ahead.
For it unlocked.
Oh, how much was it?
Mobile SIM, $575.
That's what I thought.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That's what I thought.
All right, I'm a no on the Moto X then.
That makes more sense. Yeah, I knew this was going to be a controversial
one. It was an interesting phone, yes, for the Android ecosystem, but it didn't like move the needle for, it didn't move the needle for us.
Right.
And also, I think that S3 Mini was only available overseas.
She loved her Moto X, and I'm willing to accept that it's not part of the Hall of Fame. But I remember when it came out, how excited we were about the software, like the
flip to camera.
The fact that the OS experience was like close to vanilla, like it did a lot of things right. And it was unique in its own right. That's kind of, and I will also admit there's an emotional component to it because we had it in the house and I remember.
It did start Motorola on the path that it kind of still is on now, right? Like that, like of where they fit in the market after a lot of identity crisis and corporate maneuvering and things like that. So
All right. So this is, I mean, it sounds like this is a no. I'm kind of like on the fence at this point. How do you feel when you had one of these?
I had one. I loved it for all the reasons you loved it. I love the gestures. I did love that it was fairly close to stock Android because that's always important. That was extra important to me back then. But I do feel like it's like a personal bias. And I think if we're going for game changing, no, even though I love it.
This wouldn't have a Hall of Fame special.
Chris Rock?
It wouldn't have a Rock Hall of Fame special.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yeah.
We would not have a whole special
dedicated to it. People
would
be like, what is a Moto X?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. All right.
But the next one.
Okay. All right. This is kind of, similar, but this, okay. All right.
The next one is.
Yeah.
The next one.
Game changer.
I couldn't have put it better myself. The next one. The HTC One, also known as the M7, also 2013. Pretty crazy year. Lots of stuff going on in Android, apparently. This device, remember at the time, HTC was the company that was putting out Android phones of a quality from like a build perspective, a design perspective, that was different than what we were seeing from Samsung. Samsung, a lot of their devices had a very plasticky thing going. And like, I remember when HTC was coming out, me being very anti-plastic when I started to see the HTC build and being, and of course, I think, you know, the iPhone at the time probably influenced that too. iPhone was using aluminum materials, and now you've got HTC One coming out with aluminum, full body build. And and you know, it was a trend. It furthered the trend of the full unibody metal device design. Yep. You saw them everywhere.
Maybe we should ding it for that then.
Well,
not at the time.
I see where you're coming from.
Go back in time. At the time, this phone was a game changer. It looked different than everything. It pushed HTC out of whatever bucket they were in at that point, which was like an afterthought. Remember, Jason, the phone with the dongle that lit up.
Oh, the friend,
HTC was a punchline until this phone, and this was about the time that I know I started, kind of rebelling against phones, all the phones looking the same, and like, give me a phone that looks different and stuff like that. Like this one made you stop and take notice. This is a definite yes for me.
Okay, so how do we all feel? Because yes, I think that's important to note, because we actually talked about this on a previous episode where this came up, and I think we had the same conversation. It was like, on one hand, yes, it was a big deal, and it set the trend. It was the first to do this design. On the other hand, we ended up then seeing a million phones that all looked the same,
but
modeled after this. But it was influential, obviously.
It was influential. Yeah, that's my argument.
So. Yeah. Yeah, okay. How do we feel about that?
Where's HTC now?
Well, not doing so hot.
Ooh.
Not doing so great.
Not good, Bob.
Let's see. What is on their homepage right now?
Oh, boy.
Right now on their homepage is the Vive XR Elite VR headset.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm not...
They do, but hang on. They do have the HTC Exodus block phone, the largest crypto exchange meets the Swiss bank in your pocket.
With
Binance.
Yeah, so. Oh boy. By the way, the dongle was part of the HTC Bliss.
Yeah, that was the Android phone for women. Came with a pink headphones, and it came with a cute little pink light up keychain.
Yes, and the idea was that so when your phone was in your purse, the light up keychain would be on the outside of the purse, and it would blink when you got a call.
Hello, are you calling me?
Oh. My goodness.
But it had a name. I'm trying to find the name for the little dongle-y thing. I know it's got to be in here. They had a name. It was a...
It did.
Oh, I can't find it. I'm going to have to give up because the show's going long. But anyways, okay. All right. So sounds like... Well, I don't know. Are we a yes on this or...
No.
Flo's
I'm sorry.
A no.
No. Because outside of us, nobody knows anything about this phone.
The Cube device was a charm indicator.
Charm. That's what it was. It was the charm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that it always has to boil down to do the masses of the world know the device. Like, I mean, that's a great reason for some of them. But for some of them, other ones, like, did they create a trend? Did they have some sort of influence over Android?
HTC's one.
Do we think Samsung phones got better once this phone came out?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I think all phones did. It was another player in the arena that could actually hold its own and pull market share away. Yes, I think HTC made everybody step up their game with this phone.
I think build quality of certain things elevated.
Yeah.
After this phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've kind of corrected and plastics become okay again. You know what I mean? It's it's kind of like it helped to turn plastic into a bad word, which is, you know, depending on how you feel about plastic design, a good or a bad thing. Thankfully, things have recalibrated. But it influenced things. That's okay. I think. But
all right.
But I mean, it could be. I mean, if it's not a unanimous,
I feel like a special mention.
Okay. Honorable mention.
We'll put this at the end honorable of the Android mention. Museum, like honorable mentions at the end of the Android Museum.
All right. All right. Oh, boy. This is a long episode, you guys.
This is literally...
Going out of the bang.
Yep.
We'll go faster apps. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll go faster. Yeah. Apps will be a quick thing. Okay. I put the OnePlus One in... Not because a million people know.
You just made Carl Pei so happy.
Was that?
You just made Carl Pei so happy.
Hey, in the Android world, that was an exciting phone.
It was
at the time.
A really exciting time for
it
us.
Was very
it was.
Exciting, yeah.
It was.
It was, and yes. I have it somewhere here. Where are you?
Remember that back? That velvet back?
It's like a, kind of concrete, but soft concrete.
Wait. Show this. What does that say?
Cyanogen, right?
But hang on. That's in the apps. Don't
it's
don't,
okay.
don't go too
we
far
can,
on that.
It's so. Fine.
Just hint to it.
Yeah. I mean, this was a lot of phone from a nobody for not very much money.
And when Gina Trapani got it as her daily driver, that made me take notice. Because she's still to this day someone whose opinion I valued. And I was like, oh, if this phone is good enough for her, then this is probably worth checking out. And I mean, it established OnePlus is still kicking. They're still here, whether you like them or not.
Well, and they have BBK money behind them that's helping all that. So
OnePlus is definitely, I would say, a different company now than they were then as far as their strategy for phones. Back then and for many years, they were really appealing to the hardcore...
They still do.
...enthusiasts.
They still do.
They do, but they've broadened out to want to be more than that at this point. Well, you can go into a carrier store and find their low-end Nords and... You know what I mean? Like,
yes, but they're still the only like phone company right now that's just, you know, trying to be a little more different than trying to offer something.
Trying to think
just,
different.
Anyway, they've done very well with establishing themselves as like, if you're a real Android nerd, then you're probably going to get something extra out of a OnePlus device.
Yeah. Yeah. I think nowadays maybe that story has gotten harder for me to see with ease the way it was then, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Then it was really, case in point, Cyanogen's on the back of this phone. Like, they had a very specific user that they were targeting in the early days, and that got all of us very excited.
Early adopters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not only that, like, it was, like, the design. I remember the design just being super impressed by it, and it's inexpensive. And, you know, the only thing they really messed up at the time, I remember, was their marketing. Their marketing sucked.
Oh, remember those? Oh,
they made a lot of mistakes, but...
It's been X number of days since a marketing blunder by OnePlus. Yeah. Oh, man.
Right, right.
Yes, yep. Wow. Yep.
But again, this also is an emotional, I realize, entry for me. Like, I was a big fan of the OnePlus
One. We can have emotional entries.
Well, yeah, no, but I do but like the HTC One. The OnePlus One introduced another player into the field where, we watched this grow from just talking about Samsung phones to, you know, whatever Google phones were. Now we had HTC. Now we have OnePlus One. Like, there was a nice time period between 2014 and today, even to this day, where... It wasn't just one or two companies putting out phones of note.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good point. I think they showed that it doesn't have to be a big player, and so it's kind of noteworthy in my mind for that. Like
we weren't used to seeing a brand new company out of nowhere come out with a phone that captured the imagination, that delivered on the promise, like, you know, that you didn't have to spend an arm and a leg to get. Like, it was a lot very suddenly from this company we had never heard of, and we all took notice.
We did.
And so we that's did. Why I nominate the OnePlus One for the Hall of Fame. How do we feel about it?
I vote yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, reluctantly.
The NVIDIA Shield, not an Android device specifically. Well, not an Android phone.
Still going strong.
I know. Yeah. You gotta
still
give
going strong.
NVIDIA Shield credit. Still that old hardware strong. Still rocking.
It is.
Although, are they supporting the very, very first one still anymore? I think they dropped support for it, but it still might be working. But still, that was 2015.
Oh, I don't remember, but the people who are buying Shield TVs are buying them because they have media servers at home, they have things they want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't think it matters if it's being supported or not.
Yeah. This might be this might be an on the fence device as well, but as far as this show is concerned, it's certainly come up a lot of times about us praising it for its ability to deliver Android TV, Google TV, whatever it is at any given point successfully in a way that makes sense compared to a lot of others in the field that did it very poorly. And the just like unending support for it has been something worthy of noting.
Okay, so in the Android Creation Museum, which is not at all problematic, by the way, like the actual Creation Museum, you would run into the Nexus Shield TV probably midway. It would be a diorama, right? A diorama of devices not made by Google that carried the ecosystem, carried their respective...
Well, there's a whole section about entertainment, right? Entertainment devices and, like, to the TV and, like, the lean-back experience.
It's a whole section, correct. It's a very dark section.
Yep. Yeah. The Shield is important. I think the Shield gave legitimacy to Android TV, I think, to a certain degree.
It helped Android TV stay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Android TV was was a weird little thing with their set-top box that with the remote that was a keyboard and all that sort of stuff. And the moment that another company like NVIDIA picked up on it and said, no, we think we can do something with this, I think it gave it legitimacy. And just the fact that the product line is still going, it's still high quality, it's still one of the best set-top boxes you can get for your buck, bang for your buck. Remind everybody, don't use the apps in your TV. Get a set-top box, plug it in. That way you have control over it and can update it and all that sort of thing. And the Shield, you can't go wrong with it. So I don't know. I think the Shield's important in terms of the I would put the Shield in over the original white DVD player Google TV box that I had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, yeah. See, I forgot about that thing. I didn't forget about this. Okay. So Shield TV. Yay. Nay.
It's in the special mention section.
Another honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll give it a just because it's not phone. Yeah, like that sort of.
Yeah, I'd give it that too. I think it deserves to be there. Okay, so then we're rounding things out here. We have three more.
Yes.
Woo! This took a lot longer than I thought it was going to be, but that's okay. It doesn't matter because this is all you get after tonight. Pixel 1 the right pixel? If we were to pick a pixel to say.
Yeah.
Pick a pixel.
This is a
pick a pixel.
So
peppers.
Where did this pixel come from? This blue one.
Oh, that is Burke's. So
Burke, this is my pixel that I sold Burke.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
This is a pixel one?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. And he couldn't remember if it was
I thought you got rid of this phone. I thought you got rid of it and that it died. I didn't know he still had it. I took this phone around the world.
It died and went into Jason's graveyard
went into Burke's graveyard. He brought in a few devices. So yeah, this is not part of my
graveyard. I'm really glad
Burke
still kept it.
That's a beautiful phone.
Yeah.
To say.
This
lovely.
Was a special
great.
One. I bought it with like, it didn't even have as much storage as the other ones and I still bought it because of the
color.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You wouldn't have this color without the Moto X in 2013.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, that's right. Burke's just... Yeah, Burke came in to say it boot looped, and I remember feeling really bad for selling him this phone that was boot looping.
That's funny.
I mean, there's something about the design on this thing. Like, it's got this nice little indentation. It's
and
not
then
just
feel the ridges
and,
on the buttons.
I know. It just feels nice. This is a nice feeling phone.
I took this phone to Iceland.
Sorry to be groping
and
this
New
phone,
Zealand.
But it's just so nice.
This was my only camera in New Zealand and in Iceland, and I didn't regret it.
No, you wouldn't regret it. The Pixels have always had... excellent pictures. Excellent camera.
Now I would.
Now.
Now. I feel
don't
very
know, I
differently.
I don't necessarily agree. I know you feel that
feel
way about the
I feel very differently
current.
Now.
I don't totally agree, but I understand what you're saying. Maybe it's different.
No,
I
mean,
don't know. I have great success.
I mean, I've gone back to like needing if I'm going on vacation or something, I need an extra camera. I need a real camera.
Got it. Yeah, and that's right, a bummer. If you feel like you
Jason,
have to do
going
that.
Back to your original question of is this the right pixel?
Well, yeah, I mean that was my question. Like there've been a lot of pixels. I've enjoyed most of them. Like I was like when I was trying to pick a pixel, I keep saying
pick
it.
A pixel.
It's going
to
crack me up every time. I don't know. Like, is the two a better phone than one, or is one notable because
year,
one was the first or I don't
what
know.
What model had what model was the first XL?
Was it the two
it the
or
three?
The three?
Whenever they jumped the size,
I
feel like
XL.
That was a notable
yeah,
moment.
2XL.
Yeah.
2XL. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was a moment in time. Yeah.
6-inch OLED display. Yeah, so the 2 is the XL. I don't know. I mean, I've had every Pixel, and I loved the 1. Like, I remember when they announced it and looking at it and just being like, finally, this is my phone. Like,
it was very exciting.
It was very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like it delivered. Like, it was just, it's just a nice, like, I'm holding it here. I'm like, this is a nice flipping phone.
Even, it's not a flipping phone, Jason.
No, you're right. It's not a flippable, but it's a flipping phone.
Oh, hey, look at that hole on the top.
Oh, yeah. It's got a headphone.
Oh.
A Courage port.
What's that?
Courage port. We are in the USB-C era, by the way.
I think this was after the EU made that ruling.
Oh, is it?
Was it?
Wow, did they make that ruling that early? camera. I mean, on this, a single camera, but it was a single camera.
Look how small that is compared to tiny. The Pixel now. That has those giant lenses.
Look at that. Like, look at the lenses. A pinhole.
Look at the lenses they put on the back of phones now. Like, come on.
But how much of that is the lens versus like the, you know what I mean? Like that.
Please don't mind how dirty this is. It's very well loved.
This table is full of fingerprints. All right. So then it sounds like Pixel 1, I mean, unless we can make a case for any of the other devices, but I think the one started.
Yeah, the one started it all.
Google's hardware.
There was a Pixel XL, I think. I might be looking at the wrong. Like,
wasn't it this one?
Oh, this might be a Pixel.
This
XL.
One was the Pixel XL.
Oh, yeah, Google Pixel XL.
There was a Pixel XL, and it was the first made by Google. So that's also noteworthy when they kind of
producing
their own phone. So yeah, there was both.
12.3 megapixel camera. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
I'm game for that. So that's a yes. Okay, we talked a lot about the A series in the past, and then again,
do you have it?
The question? Oh, I don't think I do. No, I don't.
Because you got the pretty purple one. Because we both got ours at Google I/O.
I got the pretty purple one.
Yes.
I don't remember the pretty.
Or maybe I got the pretty purple one.
Pretty purple Pixel 4A or 3A. Like, which is the right one? I don't know.
Oh, it was 3A. 3A was the
3A
one.
3A was the launch one.
That was the pretty one.
Oh.
The pretty purple one with the, like,
mine had
neon.
Mine was white with an orange accent.
Oh, they gave you that one.
Yeah, they gave me that one. So is that the right one, the 3A or the 4A?
It's the 3A.
The 3A was the first one.
3A was the first one, but was the 4A the one that made the difference?
I mean, was the 4A better? Yeah, I don't know. Between these two, I almost feel like, you know, the 4A was 2020. The 3A was 2019, I'm assuming. I didn't write that down.
It was 2019.
You know, we're getting so close that it's kind of hard to have, like, the distance of time to make the...
Well, I feel like the 3A should go into the Hall of Fame, though, because that was the first A series that showed us what Google was going to do with this phone line that it was working on.
See, Quippy Quint in Discord says you got it right. The 4A convinced me to buy in.
See, that's why I think the 3A was a novelty. The 4A was cemented it. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah. I mean, the 3A was a great phone. I still, I have it and it was great. 4A was, I don't know. My memory is foggy on this. Did you have any of the A series, Wynn?
No, I didn't. My husband bought them for his mom, I think, but no, we kind
of they were great. We missed, buys for like if a parent needs a phone. Yeah. It's like, I need a phone. What should I get? I'll get the A series. You'll be fine. It takes great pictures.
Well,
you don't have to spend a lot for it.
Yes, and now they're the phones for the person who wants to be online, but not really online.
Not like too online.
Yeah, that's what I've learned anyway. Like the people who ask me if they should get the A series, it's because they don't want to spend a lot of money.
Cousin Ja says, I thought the 4A had a bunch of problems.
Plus the 4A 5G.
4A 5G confusion. Okay, then through that lens.
So maybe it's a 3A. Maybe it's a 3A. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Do we feel...
It came in purple.
We feel resolute?
I feel like an A should be in there for sure. So if it's a 3A, yeah.
It has made...
I knew it wasn't the 5A, right? The 5A was no good.
It was definitely not the 5A. Yeah. 5A
and 6A
not.
Is 6A is too recent, so yeah. So.
Right, exactly. Well, and then finally, where are we right now? We're at Samsung's foldables. Mm-hmm. And when we thought about that, we were like, okay, so these are game changers, so they kind of qualify... for the criteria that you spelled out, Ron, and that I spent out, game changer, momentum changer, still not, I wouldn't say foldables are ubiquitous at this point.
No, not at
They're
all.
They're getting there.
You know, history will tell the tale 10 years from now with whatever, Android
Maybe
show
Maybe 3 years
is
from
then.
Now.
Yeah?
Maybe 3 years. Let's give it 3 years.
I feel like we have to acknowledge that Samsung's foldables are excellent examples of this trend. They did it the best the earliest. There were a lot of, there were other foldables, but they weren't as good as what Samsung was doing.
The argument I would make about the Samsung foldables is that they, especially we specified here the Samsung Z Flip 3.
That was the one that we landed on, yeah.
We landed on the Samsung Z Flip 3 as the nominee because it's the best-selling of the Flip and the Fold, or say what you will about the format, but in terms of resonating with customers, you know, right, they sold, yes, you know, upwards of 10 million or whatever. They're moving units on this, but the efforts by Samsung with the Z series took foldables from a proof of concept novelty to actually something that was resonating and is common in carrier stores and is an option for people to buy for phones. And once they started seeing these phones on TV, like being used like in narrative shows, I was like, okay, it's landing, it's working.
And the Z Flip was the first $999 sub-$1,000 foldable device.
Yep.
Major foldable device. So that goes a long way to, you know, and it was the highest selling Samsung foldable, from my understanding, was the Z Flip 3. So,
well, it's, you know, a lot less than an $1,800.
Well, it precisely that. Like, technologically speaking, the Z Fold is pretty impressive, but still, you know, it still kind of feels like that device that appeals to a certain group of people that have a ton of money. They have very specific needs. I know you love yours. Wynn, I know you have loved yours.
Love mine.
Great.
But that's, I do agree. I do agree with the Z Flip 3. I think it's the one that is the most accessible. And I think Samsung has definitely, I mean, so many people have copied the Flip or taken, you know, inspiration from the Flip, like Motorola.
Oh,
Is the Motorola Razr Plus is what it is because of the Z Flip 3, because of the success of Z Flip 3, because Motorola started with their weird callback to the old Razr phone, and then they saw what actually was selling, and now they've leapfrogged over Samsung, it seems like, in terms of design. So I would definitely give the Z Flip 3 credit for that. Because, I mean, everything, like, they demonstrated that this form factor is what people want, people will buy it, and now everybody's doing flippables, just with their own little
flippable
take on it.
Totally
flippable.
All right, so it sounds like that's in.
And I will say I was bullish on foldables years ago. We were saying that this is going to be a thing, and we joked and laughed about it. And here we are, and sure enough, they are a thing. So
they are a thing. They continue to be a thing.
How am I going to afford a fold? It's as much as a laptop. And the one I want,
buy a fold,
and I would want the minimum. I wouldn't want the minimum.
What do you mean by that?
Like the minimum storage space. Like I would have to buy a tier up.
You would tier up.
So I have to spend at least $2,000.
Yeah. I'm not spending
$2,000. Which is a laptop.
I'm not. I am fine.
But it's really hard. It's really hard without it once you're very used to it.
The fold?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I guess just don't get used to it.
Well, I'm ruined. I've been spoiled.
It's like when the displays got, you know, high def and everything. And then once your eyes got used to the high def, I remember looking at my display, my first few high def displays and seeing the little avatars on like Twitter or something like that and going, it looks like little windows. Like I'm looking through a window and seeing a face there. It's not, those aren't pixels. Those are windows. Yeah. And once you do that, you can't go back. It's like, you know, the refresh rate. Our eyes are there again.
Oh, my goodness. It's so true.
Okay. We have gone super long.
We have.
But, we sure have.
And we still have some stuff to talk about. But I think that was a damn fine Hall of Fame hardware block. That was fun.
That was thorough.
That was worth all the pomp and circumstance. That was worth all the build-up, years worth of build-up saying we were going to do it eventually, and damn it, we did.
We did.
Very nice. All right.
Before we go into the next one, and I'm sorry, Victor, to get it, but I feel like we should. I should have said this earlier. Victor, do you even have access to an old arena bumper?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't think about that. Because the TriCaster has gone through many iterations and data has dropped off in the scope of it all.
Oh well. Well, for those longtime listeners, pretend it was the arena bumper.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that, but that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yes. Okay. So we're not going to do this nearly the justice it deserves because we don't have enough time to do that.
No.
And let's be honest, we looked at a ton, and a ton, I feel like, is a small number compared to what we actually looked at. Apps in the arena, mm-hmm. talked about on the shows, mm-hmm. subjects that came up repeatedly. It's like, oh, this app is, you know, in a million different stories that we talk about. So when I was like thinking of this, I was like, what are the apps that really stood the test of time that, you know, over the course of the show we kept talking about, or, you know, something along those lines? Do we just kind of list these? I don't feel like we have to go into detail on every single one like we did with hardware. Yeah.
I mean, the same criteria applied in that it was apps that, you know, that either changed the game or became must have, you know, can't live without them. That's kind of what it did. So
many.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Rip.
Now, Victor, one more hoop to jump through. That was amazing. It's been so long. One more hoop to jump through. In the Discord, Patrick posted the 2013 version of the Android Arena bumper. Is it possible to channel the Discord in? If it's not possible, don't worry about it. But if it is possible.
Did you also post it in chat? Yeah, wait, here I have it.
We can just do that. Yeah, post it in chat.
I dropped it into Slack. There you go. Okay, you got it in Slack now.
So. I didn't even think about that. Just because I'm super curious. Patrick has been...
Can you put it in the doc?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the doc. Yep, I got
you.
Okay,
Ron's got you. He's putting it right next to push bullet. Sorry, audio and video listeners, but I'm really curious.
Last show, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Not subscribe anymore? Where are you? Come on.
where are you going to go, huh? You're going to stick around. Yeah, I know you're going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take every last second we give you. Okay, I think we're almost there. Sorry, Victor.
635 shows.
635 plus.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That was so satisfying.
That one.
That was so satisfying.
I've actually never seen that one.
I forgot.
That was back in the day.
That was back in the day. That was really satisfying. Thank you.
The rolling of the R in Arena was really what
Arena.
Oh my goodness, that was so great. Okay, so now we've got that. I've got like a permanent smile on my face. Okay, so I put in push bullet. I feel like we talked about that a heck of a lot of times. Pocket Cast has had longevity. I mean,
I'm still using it.
It's my podcast app. Google Maps, just because I don't know how many times on the show I've said it's one of my favorite apps of all time.
We had Drive navigation available.
Yeah,
was because of that app.
Yep.
Before the iPhone
app.
Hundo P.
I mean, they've put a lot of extra stuff in there that I don't use, but its core functionality has continued to improve.
I love the reviews. They help me eat places.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it feels a little cluttered in the app compared to, you know, for what I use it for. But I appreciate that stuff's there.
Yeah.
Swift Key I put in there because you remember back in the day, the swipe typing thing.
No,
it was always
swipe typing, worse.
Yeah.
It laid the path for Gboard. I mean, honestly, like once SwiftKey gave the reality of an alternate keyboard, and made Google step it up and do Gboard, you know,
who was there first, SwiftKey or Swipe? Because it was between those two at the time.
I think Swipe was first.
Swipe
was first,
and they were included on Samsung phones. Yes,
That's right. That's right.
They were the default.
Kind of thought that Swipe was going to be the runaway hit because they had all the market. And and maybe they were, but SwiftKey was the one that worked for me.
Swipe, initial release September 2nd, 2009.
Oh, wow. Earlier than I thought it would be.
And SwiftKey...
There's a lot going on in my life that year.
let's see. SwiftKey, Wiki... Microsoft SwiftKey initial release July 2010.
Okay, so a little
bit
later.
Swipe was first.
Okay.
Yep. Interesting. 2009 for Swipe. I would never have guessed that. But what a great kind of like addition to smartphone typing. Because oh my god, sometimes a touch typing on a touch screen, especially on phones that don't do it well, it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
hate it. I put Google Now in here. I realize it's not like an app that you download necessarily. Or was it? But it was app-like, and it was
what Google Feed is now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. It's evolved, and it's Google Feed now.
That was the beginning of it for us.
But it's more kind of like built into Android as opposed to being an app that you go to the Play Store to download.
True.
I think.
True.
Yep.
If my memory is correct. But regardless, I put it in there.
Well, they had a widget.
I did an Audible and I added the next one because Jason, I feel like we couldn't not talk about the last 12 years of that, acknowledging, like we talked about during OnePlus with Cyanogen Mod, or any of the litany of ROMs that you installed on your phones from 2008 through when did you stop? Like 2015, 16? Like the Pixels? Was that around then?
Oh, for sure, by the Pixels.
You stopped by the time I came on the show.
Yeah, I wasn't really doing it.
Yeah, it was after you dropped that Nexus 6.
That was the best when you dropped the Nexus 6. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the one that I dropped, but I have this one.
Yeah.
And it actually powers on.
But Jason, you every week would be like, what mod has Jason got? Like, yeah, so it was, that was a fun one.
Look at that chonker. The Nexus 6. What a chonker of a phone. I actually love this. This phone was ridiculed by many, but it was a fun game. Or sorry, a fun phone to me.
I loved it, but I sprained my thumb on it.
What?
Why? Because it's so wide?
Because it's so big.
It's so big, yeah.
It's so big. I strained my thumb. Not even a joke. I literally pulled my thumb.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. That's so crazy. Wow. Mm-hmm. Props to you. Sacrificing your thumb for phones. Tasker, hands down, got to be in there.
Still around.
Still around. Mm-hmm.
Still around.
That was the app that put customization into the palm of your hands in a way that other apps just didn't do. And it was almost like it was a playground. It was like, what is your imagination? Build it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you still can.
You still can. SMS backup.
I put this one in because this is an app that I still use to this day and still looks like it was coded in 2010 when it came out. And the idea that you could back up your SMS messages was mind-blowing. And the fact that I still use it is a testament to this app. So,
you're
it
not
is.
Alone. Discord.
It's the only way to back it up without going directly to your Google account. And the nice thing is you can back it up. Like, I back mine up to Dropbox.
To different places.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So. Yeah. And Google's backup, by the way, doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't.
I only know this because I set up so many damn phones.
Yeah, it's kind of piecemeal, actually.
Sometimes it pulls stuff in or it backs it up, and sometimes it doesn't. And then I'm
like, because it depends on the developer. The developer has to enable the thing in the back. Blah,
blah.
Yeah. But SMS backup, no. It's all about backing up that SMS.
Back that SMS up.
Back that up. Back that SMS up.
Back that SMS up. I don't know if we ever came up with that in shows past, but that's a pretty awesome
thing
tied to that. Okay. WhatsApp?
WhatsApp. I think it's important. It's important, gives an alternative to messaging, and like, Lord knows, no one wants to go down the messaging rabbit hole here on our last show, but I think WhatsApp emerged, you know, pre-Meta acquisition.
I think that's important to mention. WhatsApp was a force far, you know, before
PM, pre-Meta
/ Facebook got involved.
Yeah, pre-Meta,
Pocket? Oh, yeah, that's right. I put that in there. I was like, oh, wow, I'm surprised. No, I put that in there.
Pocket was big because of iOS, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, I still use it.
The iPhone users really were like, look at this app where you can clip things.
Well, and it worked for Android.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. I remember it being as big of a deal when it came out.
Yeah.
And I will say one of the staff engineers on Pocket is a very good friend of mine, Marchin. He's a lovely guy. He's been working there 7 years, and I still love the app.
I still use it. I've used it for producing this show for, I don't know, as long as we've been talking about it. It's been my tool. Yeah. Like, I read an article. Oh, yeah, Market. And pretty much everything in Pocket, everything in Pocket that doesn't have a tag is for this show.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Everything in Pocket that has a tag is for anything else. But if it doesn't have a tag at all, it's for this show.
I had to stop using Pocket because I have such a backlog on there. And I was like,
oh, yeah. I have tons.
Do you know what I do now? Do you know what I do now?
What?
I go into Chrome and I send to my device. I send it to the Fold. So when I'm ready to sit down and read, I have all of the articles that I wanted to read earlier in the day
and
ready for me on my Fold.
In Chrome? Or?
Yeah, it just sends to your device in Chrome.
Oh, that's
it
neat.
It opens it in Chrome.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's really nice. That's a cool way to do that. Play music. I mean.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, don't get me started. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, maybe that's all we need to say. Play music.
I want it back. Oh, mm-hmm. God. I got to tell you, YouTube Music, over the weekend, I had a barbecue on Father's Day, and I just did a song. I said, start radio. And it is the most garbage selection of songs. Like I don't know what signals they're using to drive those auto playlists, but they're just like, it just plays the same. Like, you like a song once, it's always going to come up in your radio, whether it's genre sufficient or not. Like, I did a Sam Cooke song, and no joke, within 20 songs, it played David Bowie. I'm like, how do you get from Sam Cooke to David Bowie? Really? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. That was not the vibe I was going for. So
we had to pick the music service for the Pixel tablet setting up, and we very begrudgingly picked YouTube Music because all of the other ones we just didn't have, like Spotify or whatever else. Like by default, that's pretty much how I feel about YouTube Music, or by default.
Wow. Well, yep. I've been using Spotify for a while, and I hate to say it, but it's been pretty all right.
So, I miss you play music.
There's that.
I just don't listen to music.
Oh, well, that's another solution.
Well, you're not working, so it's
true. Right.
Not working, not listening.
Should Google Plus be in there?
I mean, it was kind of laughing when I put that in, but it was a big part of the show,
and it was important.
You know what's really funny is that on my Gmail contacts, or just in my general contacts, everybody's picture is still the same as the one that they put initially on Google Plus back in the day.
Yes, totally.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes. Oh God, nobody's changed that icon since then. Yep. And you can do that, folks. You can go to Gmail and change it, by the way. You can go to your Google profile and change it. But nobody's changed it.
Nobody, thinks to do it.
Some are really low res too.
Yeah, they are.
And they're also low res. Exactly, they don't even get very big.
Gosh. Ugh. Anyways, I'm sure there's plenty more, but we don't have the time for it. And,
yeah, we really don't, unfortunately.
There we go. I think that's a good abbreviated selection. So that's the Hall of Fame of apps. A lot less pomp and circumstance than the hardware, but that's the Hall of Fame in general. That was super satisfying, super enjoyable for the last episode of this show.
So listen, this might be the last episode of the show, but the Hall of Fame will live on forever. Jason, I'm flying out to California. We're going to look at that space that I found, that commercial real estate I found in San Francisco. We're going to build this Hall of Fame, and everyone will be invited. We'll have a great opening party, and it'll be fantastic. And that'll be a good use of money. So
build it in the suburbs. A little cheaper. Let's talk about this off the
air. South of Market. That's where we're going.
There's a lot of open space. I hear there's a great spot on Market Street. It used to be a mall, but like there's a lot of space there.
Old Westfield Mall will just be an 8-story homage to the creation of Android. Yeah. See?
There we go. Yep, there we go.
We can have dioramas.
We've got Andy Rubin and Carbonite. It's great. God. It's going to be excellent. No, it's actually him.
He's actually frozen in Carbonite.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then when anybody walks in the door, you just hear...
Yes, they open the door. Yeah, that's instead of like a ding or whatever. It's that. Oh, yes. That would be amazing. Love it. Great stuff, Victor. All right, so we've reached the end of this episode of All About Android, and I think Patrick Delahanty helped me out prior to, you know, leading up to this episode with some stats, and I kind of like went, you know, also kind of dug into a few things, just little funny things that we can throw in there as like a little time capsule. Our first episode, March 28th, 2011. It was episode one. We did have some, you know, pre-launch episodes that you can find on YouTube still. If you look for those, you'll find those betas, those alpha and beta episodes that are super cringy, but they're there. Average episode time across the entirety of the show, 1 hour, 33 minutes, 26 seconds, which when I saw that, I was like, bang on, because I've always thought somewhere between 1:15 to 1.5 is about the perfect amount of time for this show. Today, we are blowing that on the water, but there you go.
But Jason, no, you're right, because we always said 1:15 to 1:30, and the average is 1:33, which means that we went over.
Yeah. Okay.
It's true.
That's a good point.
What can you do?
All right, so how much time, if you've watched all of our episodes, just counting official episodes, how much time have you spent of your life watching or listening to this show? 41 days, 1 hour, 41 minutes, and 33 seconds. We will fill an entire calendar month and then some.
And then some.
Mm-hmm. Month and a half of All About Android.
That's more than 90210.
Wow, we've got that going for us.
It's actually, we actually have twice the amount of episodes that 90210 had. Almost three times. Almost, yeah.
Much less production costs. Much less.
Patrick does point out in Discord, plus add however long this episode is. So, you know, add another 5 hours to that. he linked me to the arena stats.
Yeah, that's right.
So there was a page on the Twit site that existed mm-hmm. before. It doesn't exist anymore, but just some notable stats. The first arena was March 28th, 2011.
Oh, Wayback Machine.
Total apps ever in the arena, 1,721.
Yep.
Do you remember the year of the year of the guest, Jason, when the guests won in 2017 or 2018?
Yeah, I mean, there was a year for all of us when, you know, if you look through, there was a year that, you know, Flo won in 2020.
I did.
Flo won in 2019.
Flo won a lot. Flo won a lot.
Guest won in 2018.
Okay, yeah, that was the guest year.
Flo won in 20. Jeez, Flo, quit winning.
Flo had a good run. Flo had a really good run. Yeah. Once we moved to the scoring system, Flo really got in there. But pre-scoring system, we all had our moments.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I will say that I guested twice in 2018, so I can represent the guests.
Yeah.
Of
2018.
Yes. Yep. Yes, you're part of the winning. The winning group of 2018.
What are the winning group?
I wonder what app you brought in. But I'm not going to look into it. 2016 looked like all guests, 18 wins. Okay, so all guests won in 2018. 2017, I won. Or sorry, 2015. Okay, I'm getting my numbers wrong. 2016, all guests. 2015, I won. 2014, Ron won. 2013, Gina won. 2012, I won again. And 2011, Eileen. So we all had a winning year.
Wow, everybody had a winning year.
Everybody had a winning year. When I'm sure, I was going to say, I'm sure you would have a winning year.
Yeah, when you won as part of the guests.
You were part of the guests.
Part of the guests, 2018.
Yay, we all get a ribbon. Total number of flavors of... There we go. We all get that song. Total flavors of Oreos that we sampled over the course of a year.
Oh, my God.
51.
That's what's amazing. I think the 51 Oreo flavors is our moment in time. So.
That's the thing that we could be super proud of.
You know, I still buy Oreos at the grocery store.
No, it was great. You know why that worked?
I still buy Oreos.
Do you? I did not very much.
I stop and look at the flavors in the storage and think about it. But the reason why that worked so well and was so much fun and went on for a year, was the fact that not only did it make us laugh, but it pissed so many people off.
Yeah, it really did.
Like, I was going through the reviews of the show on different things, and there were people complaining at the time, like, why am I listening to a show about Android and they're talking about Oreo flavors? Like, oh, it was great.
Where
what a good
been?
Yeah, so that's how you keep a podcast around for 13 years. You piss off your fans.
Yes, let's talk about how that's funny for a lot of people, though.
The guest with the most appearances.
Not a surprise here.
Yeah, not gonna be too surprised to hear it, but Matteo Doni wins. Guest with the most appearances, 31 episodes. I was kind of surprised by the second place. Only because because there was an era, and that era was a long time ago, and that's Aaron Newcomb.
Yeah.
Early episodes. Aaron was on 28 times. 28 times? That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, he was a go-to for a while.
Yeah, totally he was, and he's an awesome guy. I remember Double A Ron was his nickname, and anyways. Yep. Big thank you to Patrick De La Hanty for pulling those stats and also being such a huge fan of the show so. We've heard from a lot of people here who are bummed about the show going away. I think I can speak for all of us and say that I'm pretty bummed as well. But you know what? Like, nothing lasts forever. And we've got other things to look forward to. We'll get to that in a moment. I do want to thank the folks who aren't here but who helped this show be what it is and what it has been. Eileen Rivera, of course, she co-founded the show with Ron and I back when we were at the Cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Eileen kind of filled the role of lead host of the show when she was on. She really drove the show from the beginning, and
she was in the middle chair, Jason. Yep. When you moved over to Brickout, right? Like it was it was Eileen. You were to the left, and then I was to the right, and then Eileen segged out, and you moved to the center chair, and I stayed to the right stage, right, but to your left, right, where
and
I am
you,
today.
And then you became a television,
and it became a TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So big, you know, owe a lot of thanks and gratitude to Eileen, because without her, I mean, she was really the driving force to start this show back then. She's like, what do you think about doing an Android show? She was the one that really helped, you know, to have the idea, and we created it from there. So Eileen's awesome. Gina Trapani, of course, not here. Michelle Roman, who was just on last week. Mm-hmm. J.R. Ray Feel. I mean, love the contributions of the three of them. It's just been, you know, each of them have brought their own kind of their perspective, but their expertise. I mean, Gina was just such an important person coming from This Week in Google. I remember when Gina was picked to come on the show, kind of being in disbelief that she would actually do it. Wait a minute, Gina's going to do our show? Like our little Android show? She's going to do it?
I mean, she was like a celebrity. It was like, Oh, she's the best.
So it was great having her on. Same with Michelle, who's just brilliant mind in the realm of Android. We were, you know, just delighted to be able to get him on more regularly. And then J.R. Ray Feel, who has always been one of my favorite guests back in the day. His ability to join diminished over the years, family and other things, and then finding that we had this new way to bring him on made me very happy. And I know that everybody else loved to hear the apps and stuff that
he's one of the last journalists with a Android column.
Oh, really?
So
fascinating.
Y'all should keep on supporting him. Sign up for his newsletter.
Yeah. AndroidIntel.net.
Yes, I am on it. I'm on the list. I get it every week. It's something I read every Friday. So thank you, JR, for continuing to carry the torch.
Yes, indeed.
For, the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. The thank you, cousin of John McIntosh. Also another TD that would help out along with Chad Johnson, Brian Burnett. You know, these are, of course, the folks who were behind the TD desk who definitely... You know, that's another thing that I've loved about this show is that we tend to kind of pull people into the orbit, even if they're sitting there at the desk doing their job like you're doing, Victor, like Burke has done, in the last few years. It's like you're all part of the experience, of the All About Android experience, and it wouldn't be the same without you guys. So thank you to you, Victor and Burke and everybody.
It's always a blast.
Yeah, it really has been. People who helped us with parts of the show that you know and love, but you might not know who they are. Jeff Kosmicki.
Oh, Jeff, the best.
The segment bumpers that you've watched over the years. That's all because of a fan who, and I read the email the other day, and he was like, hey, I just threw this together. What do you think? You know, and we ended up kind of like carving this relationship with this guy, Jeff, who when we needed a bumper for the show, he was just kind of always there to like do it for free, I might bumper. Add.
Wait a minute.
He just surprised us with it.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Come on, Google Photos.
Oh, are you looking for the
photo?
I got it. All right, wait. I'm putting it in the doc now. This is all going to happen. There you go. Put it there. Hopefully that works. Pull that up.
Hopefully it works. Did you share in order to get the photo?
I think I did.
Yeah, that's the...
There it is. That is me and Jeff Kosmicki in Brooklyn when I was at a show. That's and right. He came up to me and said, this was taken on my Next Bit Robin, by the way, on November 11th, 2016. And he said, hey, Ron, I'm Jeff Kosmicki. And I was like, where do I know that name?
Wait,
and I was like,
what?
Jeff Kosmicki.
that's so crazy. That would take me by surprise, too.
He
really did. Did some great work for our segment bumpers over the years. Stuart Bootwell did the intro music. Mm-hmm. Russ Cluett did our outro music. And I call them out. Basically, I'm amazed that we still have the same music. Intro and outro music, it all stemmed from our pre-launch episodes where we put a call out to the people who are watching us streaming live and said, hey, if you want to do our music, like we'll vote on our favorites or whatever. And we picked theirs, and that's been our music ever since.
This is the end of an era, though.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. We're certainly making it seem that way by spending 2 hours talking about it.
We did have how many episodes? 635?
That's a lot. I mean, I know that Leo is not a huge fan of drawing out end of series episodes like this. But I can't help it. I'm a very nostalgic person. And it sounds like we all kind of are too. We're on the same page. Before we kind of say goodbye, Wade County, Robert M., yep. Mike B., Joel J., Tony M., they all helped with the arena and the app stock
Wade
and the
County
wiki.
With the stats, Wade County every week would give us Oh, man, Wade.
Yeah. Yep. Which is all to say that the fans of this show are. I don't want to start crying. The fans of our show are really the reason, the big reason why I find so much satisfaction about doing this. You guys have given yourselves in many ways to what we do. And again, like we said at the beginning of the show, out of this shared reverence and respect for Android and this thing that we all love together. So you guys are awesome. No, you're awesome. You're awesome. Well, so, the fans are awesome.
And Jason, I'll chime in and quickly say my piece, which is, you know, we joke and laugh about doing this for 13 years or whatever, but I did the math. I've been doing this show for 28% of my life.
Yeah, I know, right? You put it in context it's like, okay, this is a big deal.
So like
to us,
more than
deal.
A quarter of my life has been spent next to you, next to Flo, next to Wynn, next to Gina, next to Eileen, all because I went to T-Mobile and bought that dumb G1 phone.
Yeah.
Because Eileen and I were at Rev3 and I did app judgment at Rev3 and I was the Android guy and all that sort of stuff. And so when you guys need somebody called me, it has been an immense honor and a pleasure to be a part of the Twit family. I've been, a proud member of the Twit family, it was something I could brag about to my friends. I will say, and you know, not to get emotional, stuff like that, but I was one of those nerds in the late 90s, early 2000s, watching tech TV and watching Leo and idolizing Patrick Norton and seeing that whole world and seeing there's a community of people who make content that resonates with me, that this is the kind of stuff that I would like to do. And I've talked about it on the show in the past, but like, you know, having a podcast and having a show to go 635 episodes, to go for 13 plus years, is an immense feat that we should all be proud of. And like, there are not many podcasters who can say that. And I'm just so thankful for Leo and Lisa and giving us a place, a playground to play on and to talk and the friendships that have been formed. I mean, my sister from another world, Flo, and when getting to know you over these past time, even I still follow Cranky Hippo on Instagram and stay in touch. You know, like I see Chad every once in a while. Like the connections this show has given, at least me, in the 28% of my life that I've spent doing it, has been immensely valuable, and it's been worth every minute. And I just can't, I can't say more about how important this has been to me.
Yeah.
About how, when we got the news that we weren't doing it, of course I was like, oh well, it'll be great to get Tuesday nights back. But at the same time, like, I would do this for another 10 years. Like, this was something that I did because I wanted to. And trust me, when I moved from San Francisco to New York, when the pandemic hit, when I had kids, those were all moments in time where I'm like, do I really want to give up, 4 hours a week to this show in terms of prepping and doing it and losing a night with, watching TV with my wife or doing something like that? And every time I came to that crossroads, I said yes, because of you, Jason, and because of Burke, and because of Victor, and because of everybody that's in our little family. And before I start crying, I will say that all of this past 12 years is completely because of you, Mr. Jason Howell, that the work ethic and the fairness and the approach that you've made to the show is just something that we should, I hope everybody takes notice of and should be a testament on how to run a show equitably, fairly, happily. There was never a moment in these 13 years where All About Android was a negative or a pain in my life, and that's because of you, Jason. So congratulations to you, man.
Thank you, Ron. That's so nice of you to say that. No. Oh man,
it's the truth.
I know. Thank you. I will take that in and soak it in. It's hard.
It's true. You're running around with our heads cut off when you weren't here for vacation.
Jason, you are both the heart and the backbone of this show, right? Like 100%. I mean, we are all. I mean, the stage that you have built around for all of us to do it. That's what it is. And this is as much as it's a bummer for us. And I'm right there with you. I don't want to stop doing this show. I would love to keep on doing it. But it wouldn't be possible without the dedication that you've shown. And so you definitely deserve a hat tip for like 30 more years.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. That's really nice. I really appreciate that.
And so, you know, none of it was in vain.
What's that?
None of it was in vain.
No, none of it was in vain. You know, I think we've continued to do this show. I mean, I can echo what you said, Ron. We've continued to do the show because it's damn enjoyable. Like, my Tuesday nights have been hang time with my friends. You know what I mean? And especially since I've started having kids.
Yeah.
I have a family. Like, there have been moments in the past 13 years, because I've been doing this show about as long as my oldest daughter is alive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That I haven't had a whole lot of hang time with anybody. Mm, yeah. But I have always had the hang time here with you all on Tuesday nights. And, you know, hanging with friends, talking about stuff we care about. Pre and post show, talking about stuff that has nothing to do with Android. It has everything to do with life, but it's still funny and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it's just been so enjoyable.
And this, and now I'm even more thankful that I pulled off and made it to IO because we got to see and do all that. Like,
totally.
It'll, and you're right. Nothing lasts forever. And we have all the great work and we should be immensely proud of it. But again, I definitely, next Tuesday is going to be weird. That's for sure.
It will be weird. It's going to be weird to have a Tuesday off. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. It'll be one of those things where I'm like looking at my watch going, wait a minute. No.
You might feel weird. you might feel weird. Seriously.
I will. I'm certain that I will.
And as if this effusiveness isn't, you know, enough goes without saying, but everyone asking in the chat room, like, yeah, we would keep doing it. We'd love to do it. Unfortunately, the decision's out of our hands, but,
it doesn't mean that
all of us cease to exist. We all do other things and you can still, you know, and who knows where the future will take us.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's worth noting. I mean, just to get it in there real quick here. Podcast numbers are hurting. I mean, there's no question about it. The advertising industry right now, just in general, not talking about just Twit, not isolated to just us, but things have changed. Things have shifted, and you're seeing a lot of the impacts of it. I mean, you know, I mean, what can I say? Like, at a certain point, a show's got to be making more money than it costs to run it. And I think for a while, at least for, you know, long enough, All About Android has not been. And so the idea is, you know, how can we make a change to what I do? Because I'm also an employee here at Twit. Like, I've got a job to do that is good and, you know, that is good for me, that makes me happy, but that's also good for the company. And I'll talk about kind of what my plan is here in a second. But I just love you guys. Thank you so much for doing this with me for the last 13 years. And Wynn, it's been so awesome to get to meet you and Victor and Burke and everybody that's just helped us do this show. It's just been so enjoyable. It really is a part of my life that isn't going to be there. And that's hard, but
we're still here.
I know.
We are still here. Yeah, yeah. The show may not be, but we are still here.
Totally.
Okay.
I am
just across 37. Okay. Yeah. Ron is just across the country. Okay. It's not,
but,
you know, Wynn.
Nah,
Wynn is just nearby as well.
In the middle.
Yeah. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
And,
I know.
And we're all still a part of this world, right? We're all, don't you ever, ever leave Android for iOS.
Woo!
I know where you live,
Boom.
Jason. I know where you
Gauntlet
live. I will
dropped.
Come to your house and knock on your door.
I have no plans. I have no plans to leave Android for iOS. But anything's possible, Flo. No, I'm just kidding. I have no plans to leave Android for iOS. Okay, so why don't we end with just kind of like where people can find us.
What are we doing now?
Yeah, I know. Where do we go from here? I feel like, wow, this has been a really long episode. Keep going.
Let's do another hour. Come on.
I will say, I just saw Leo pop into the Discord.
I saw Leo pop in too.
Like, all right, there he is. okay, so Wynn, what do you want to leave people with? Where can people continue to find what you're doing online? Where you at?
Well, I don't want to drag it out, but I just started crying.
Wynn.
I'm sorry. No, because when I first learned about this show, I had been unemployed for 6 months trying to make this Android life work. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. So I was unemployed for 6 months trying to make this Android job work because I loved Android so much. And seeing Jason Howell, who I adored, and just
really just thought was like one of the coolest in person that made me want to do a podcast, that you started the show, made me feel like, okay, this is not a bad career choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't need to be sorry.
And as these kids are saying, I find it miraculous that I somehow manifested coming on this podcast to be with you guys for 61 episodes. So I'm sorry. I'm the one who started it. So anyway, yes, I am an Android developer, and this show has made me a better Android developer. Nice. So I'm going to try to keeping up with Android news, keeping up with consumer news. I don't know what's going to be. Follow me or just pay attention to my website, randomlytyping.com. I'm not really on Twitter anymore. Maybe, like, I don't know, follow me on Mastodon, our Queen Goat Monkey at mastodon.social, and maybe I'll keep doing some stuff. I do want to keep, I love Android. My husband loves Android. I wish I could have ever somehow like brought him on there, just like, because half the stuff that we've talked about is stuff that he bought, and like it's so much part of our lives. So
anyway, oh, I get that.
I am
that.
So happy.
Yeah.
I am so happy to have been part of this show.
Yeah,
because I've loved you guys for so long.
We're happy to have you.
Have you win.
And
thank you.
Gonna miss it. Sorry. Yeah. I am such a big crier.
You don't need to be sorry.
You don't need to be wiping, sorry, Wendy.
I'm wiping my face with the cloth that had rubbing alcohol on it.
No.
For me to wipe the pixel
be careful,
on.
Please. Please be careful.
Because I have nothing else. But, I've been so lucky to be on this show, and I love you guys, all of you guys, so much. I have looked up to you so much. So this has been a freaking joy in my life to be doing this last year and a half. So I'm going to miss it.
Thank you.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Look at me.
I'm going to miss it, too.
Listen, when you are still, you are on my close friends list. Like, it's all good. We're... This is not going to happen.
Family. We're family. That's what it is. After you do this for this whole thing, you're like, when you're part of the family, this is family.
Yeah.
And this is not the end. This is a closing one chapter.
Correct.
Opening a door to another one.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, sorry. Yeah.
And we can keep our group chat going too.
Yeah, totally.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Group chat's not going anywhere. Thank you, Wynn. That was wonderful. And I appreciate you wearing your heart on your sleeve like that. It doesn't matter that we're podcasting. We still have hearts, right?
We do.
We can show that. just don't like hurt yourself with using the wrong rag, though. I'm just a little worried.
I'm laughing a bit at the microfiber rag. I'm not going to lie.
All right, Wynn. Thank you. So great doing the show with you. Flo, what do you want to leave people with?
I have no idea. I'm on leave right now. I'm on leave for my job at Gizmodo.
Are you working?
I am not working.
Oh, okay.
I'm not working. I'm going to be gone for about another month, so I won't be back until August. If you want to talk to me until then...
Discord, right?
Well, first of all, let me say this. If you need a Google podcast to fill the hole in your heart, that also covers the Android ecosystem, I do have another podcast.
Yes, indeed.
At the Relay FM network. I'm sorry, Leo.
You don't need to be sorry.
Let me do this.
It's what you got.
Over to relay.fm/material. Now, I'm not on the podcast right now because, again, I am on leave, and Andy Anatko, who is my co-host over there, has agreed to take on the show while I'm doing my leave. So he's doing the show every week. He's doing the members-only episodes. That show's still going, so head over there if, you need... You need a fill of me, but I won't be back until August. So please go listen to Andy. Like,
Yeah. And definitely everyone should check out Flo and Andy. Flo when she returns, but both of them on the Material Podcast. There is nothing wrong with pointing people in that direction. We don't have an Android show. And even if we did, it's still a wonderful show. Every time you were on, we would mention it. Or I would try to remember to.
I've already done my crying about leaving the show because I left the show a while ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So I've had to...
It's not a prerequisite to cry on the show.
No, anyway. I know. Well, I was about to cry when Wynn started crying, but... I don't know. Stay tuned. I'm here.
All right.
For now.
And around.
I am on Blue Sky, by the way. I'm slowly migrating over there. I am still on Twitter, but I'm mostly on Blue Sky as Flo, the person. You can find me there at Oh That Flo. That's my username everywhere.
That's what you got to
look for. Yeah, I'm on TikTok. You want to follow me there. I just talk about 90210 and how Ian Ziering has an MLM and
the important things in life.
Just important things. I'm on Instagram. I'm still on Snapchat. And I have a Discord.
There you go.
I have a Discord. So, which is...
And here I was worried about saying too much.
Thank you, Flo.
You can go to florenceion.com.
Any last
one. Find a link to the Discord there.
Thank you, Flo.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
It's because I have not worked for over 30 days. I have no idea what's going on. I didn't even know.
Okay, you're in bliss. You're in bliss. It's all good.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you for having me be a part of this for so long. And Lisa and Leo, I am not giving up my key fob. I'm holding on to my
mic
key
drop.
Fob.
Boom.
Okay.
All right, Ron. What do you want to leave people with?
Yes, I guess. I mean, you've heard me talk about it for how many episodes, but I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at RonXO. I'm also on Blue Sky. I'm a Mastodon. You can find me. It's always RonXO. You'll find me that way. Go to ifanboy.com. If you're into comics, check out what those guys do. But every now and then I pop on there, talk about movies and TV about once a month. So, and do our patron hangouts. So definitely check out ifanboy. If you like pinball, check out scorebit.io. We've got an app in the Google Play Store. We keep track of your pinball scores. Very, very cool. Good stuff. I don't talk about a lot on the show because I try to keep like personal life and business life separate, but I work at Marvel, so go to marvel.com or follow Marvel on social media because you get to see what I do every day in addition to that. So basically, all Marvel's YouTube and social media and website is all stuff I work on, so it's a fun place to be, so hopefully you like that more than DC. No, I'm just kidding. But so that's what I do. So you can see my work there if you follow, although it's not credited to me. And lastly, you never know what the future may bring. I don't know if I have another, weekly tech show in me with anybody else. I would love to, but I definitely want to keep my foot in this world. And so, you never know, I might pop up with some of your favorite podcasts talking about Android still. So stay tuned and follow me on Twitter. I'll be sure to post when that happens. So
right on. Thank you, Ron. Yeah. It's been a pleasure doing a podcast with you for 13 years.
Dude, I wouldn't do it with anybody else, man. You are in rare. I am very, very lucky to have two podcasts that lasted more than a decade.
Yeah, you've got longevity, man.
And it's only with three people: Josh and Connor over at iFanboy, and you here. So, man, we're connected till death, my friend. So
solid, solid. You can find me doing Tech News Weekly, of course, twit.tv/TNW with Micah Sargent. Things are going really well with that show right now. And then what this actually allows me to do, it does free me up to try something new. And that's the plan. So I'm obviously very early on in the workings around this. And I think Leo even mentioned this on the network on Sunday. I can't remember on the Ask the Tech Guys. But anyways, we've needed an artificial intelligence show on the network. It's been a topic that's been really, really top of mind. Lots of discussion happening and thought happening around AI in the world of technology right now. I'm kind of in the midst of working on an idea around AI because I'm really fascinated by it. And it's a chance for me to, have a renewed focus on something that, as much as I love Android, like what is it like if I focus on a different facet of technology and get really, get really smart about it and see if I can approach AI through the lens of how can we as individual everyday users, how can we use AI to improve our lives? Not the news, not like, and then this happened and this company bought this company, but like, how can I use this particular piece of AI to make something creative that I enjoy? Or how can I use this AI to make myself more productive or whatever? That's kind of where my head's at right now. If you have any thoughts or suggestions or ideas, I'm totally open to it. Jason@twit.tv. Send me an email. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Howell. Mastodon, twit.social/@Jason Howell. If you're a member of the club, of course, I'm in the Discord, twit.tv/clubtwit. When we're talking about the podcast kind of market right now,
Club Twit is probably the easiest, most direct way that you can help us as a podcast network continue to do what we do, because you're supporting us directly. It's $7 a month. Twit.tv/clubtwit gives you, you know, all of our shows with no ads, gives you a lot of bonus content, some of which is coming from tonight's pre-show and post-show. And then access to the Discord that I'm talking about. It also gives you direct access to us through the Discord. So it's pretty easy to communicate with us there as well. So that's a way that you can help us, twit.tv/clubtwit. But yeah, so those are the things that that I'm working on, and I feel like we got to end this show at some point, but it's been a real pleasure. It's been an honor, a privilege to do a show about Android and to make all of the friends that we have. You know, we've had such amazing guests over the years on this show, so many people from the industry. Yeah. So thanks to all of them, because I realized I hadn't thanked them yet. They, as well as you, helped make this show what it's been for the last 13 years. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you a million times. And I guess we won't see you next time.
Don't be a stranger.
On All About Android. Is that the best way to end it? I won't see you next time on All About Android? Whatever. There it is. Bye, everybody. We'll see you
soon.
Bye,
everybody. Don't lose touch.
Thank you.
Kiss.
Ah. Yeah.
Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here. In case you hadn't heard, Home Theater Geeks is back. Each week, I bring you the latest audio-video news, tips and tricks to get the most out of your AV system, product reviews, and more. You can enjoy Home Theater Geeks only if you're a member of Club Twit, which costs $7 a month, or you can subscribe to Home Theater Geeks by itself for only $2.99 a month. I hope you'll join me for a weekly dose of home theater geekitude.